Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. This time, Democrats plan to make their Iraq resolution binding on the president, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
By July of 2007, if progress is not demonstrated, if the president cannot certify that progress is made, we begin the redeployment of our troops out of a combat role.
And fully out, she says, by August of 08, and it's tied to funding. House Republican leader John Boehner.
General Petraeus should be making the military decisions on the ground in Iraq, not Nancy Pelosi or John Burford.
The Senate has a similar resolution in mind, though without the teeth of funding connection. The White House says the Democrats are not paying attention. 16 intelligence agencies have warned of the dire consequences to Iraq of a precipitous U.S. withdrawal. And President Bush says he'll veto any such plan. The president is in Brazil reminding people it's unwise to bite the hand that buys most of your exports.
I'm Peter Mayer in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez will be an unseen presence at almost every stop of this trip. He is flexing his muscle with petrodollar checkbook influence, and he has publicly called George W. Bush the devil. Now, President Bush hopes to counter that by talking up biofuels and reminding Latin American leaders that the U.S. is the biggest customer for many of their country's products.
As America gets older, we will either live better or pay the price for it at the hospital.
If you don't get healthier, America, you'll pay the price. A new Centers for Disease Control report predicts the number of people 65 and older will double by 2030, and that the cost of caring for them will climb 25% unless healthier lifestyles are adopted. One example, the number of people who need treatment for falls. In one recent year, more than 2.5 million.
And the cost for medical care were about $19 billion.
CDC expert Linda Anderson, Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Gasoline prices are gobbling at our wallets once again.
We've seen about a 30-cent increase in the national average for our regular unleaded in about 30 days.
Brad Proctor at GasPriceWatch.com says the reason is oil companies are running the refineries at about 85%, which has brought the supplies down, even though driver demand has not increased yet. There are more rich folks in the world, capital R rich, a record 946 billionaires on Forbes' annual list of the wealthiest people in the world. There are 55 new billionaires in America. Allison Fass at Forbes.
There's 178 new billionaires, so it's up from 793 last year. And there are increases across the world.
In Asia, the leading nation for billionaires is no longer Japan. It's India, with 36 of them. On Wall Street, the Dow up about 68 points on the day. The Nasdaq gained 13. Oil prices, $61.64 a barrel, down 18 cents. This is CBS News.
Hello?
Awful night.
Beth?
My erosive acid reflux.
Haven't you heard of Protonix, pantoprazole sodium?
What?
Protonix. One daily tablet helped control daytime, even nighttime acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms, too?
Yep, even helped repair acid reflux damage. Plus, I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan.
Right. Gotta go.
Where?
To see my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 866-794-ACID to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you.
Washington, D.C. has settled out of court with the family of a New York Times reporter who died from failures in EMS response.
We're here today because of a failure of government.
D.C. Mayor Adrian Fenty near a tree planted in David Rosenbaum's honor. The settlement establishes a task force to improve the city's emergency response. When the $20 million lawsuit was first filed against the district in the hospital where Rosenbaum was treated, Rosenbaum's brother Marcus said the figure was picked to get attention.
Our goal when it came to the city was to improve things for the residents of the District of Columbia.
The family attorney says the care Rosenbaum got at the hospital was, in his words, third world care in the nation's capital. Neil Augenstein for CBS News, Washington.
A candidate for county clerk in Harrisonburg, Virginia, Benny Neal, says he figured the past would come back to haunt him anyway, so he's coming clean now. He did pose naked for Playgirl magazine once, but that was a long time ago, he says, when he was young, dumb, and 21. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
So where do you two keep the books for your contracting business?
It's all up in the old noggin.
Yep, all our sales figures are right in his head.
I see. Does that concern you?
Not at all.
Every waking moment.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
We need that.
Are you sure? I got it all right here.
I'm sure.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at CompUSA, OfficeMax, or Circuit City.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. What I did to dust on your floor, I'm now doing to dust in your air. Introducing my new Orrick Professional Air Purifier with the Truman Cell with 30 patents pending. It's your best defense against bad indoor air because it not only captures dust and germs, but harmful compounds from toxic household chemicals. For a risk-free trial, call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Do it.
Yeah, let's do it. It's time for another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and originating in the dangerous left coast city of San Francisco. We got loads to talk about today. Up first, Pat Shakir checks in from the Center for American Progress. Some interesting developments in Washington, and Bush has decamped for a safe tour, he hopes, of South America.
If you know what I mean, let's do the wild thing.
Also on today's program, the proprietor of the website, The Real McCain, Cliff Schechter, will join us in about half an hour. Scott Dick has returned. He was in Germany the last 2 weeks. He's our contributor on military and veterans affairs. After all, he served in the Marines and retired from the Army as a major. He'll be with us next hour to talk about the Walter Reed snags and other issues as well, including just how long the so-called surge may last in Iraq. Also on today's program, the Free Speech Zone, we're still lining things up, but we hope to talk with Robert Perry, who has sharp criticisms for the Washington Post in their postscripts, on the Libby trial, and in particular, the way they continue to attack Joe Wilson and his credibility. Also on the program in the Free Speech Zone, we're going to hopefully hook up with one of the co-authors of the book Torture Taxi and get more information on the story we broke yesterday regarding one of the black sites, the secret detention centers in Gulag, U.S., this one in the northern extremes of Poland. And A.C. Thompson is one of the co-authors of the book Torture Taxi. They relied on amateur plane watchers called plane spotters who keep tabs on comings and goings at various airports and also on the flight logs. And we're going to compare notes on that if they're able to join us. That's coming up later today. At any time, you can join this conversation toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 is our toll-free number. And once a week, we check in with Faz Shakir. He is research director of the Center for American Progress and co-editor of their Daily Progress Report. Faz, how are you?
I'm fine, Peter. How are you this week?
I'm doing okay. I'll just tell you, because you wear spectacles, too, that I got a new pair with a new prescription, and things look a little weird today.
Well, I'm glad you're seeing things better.
Well, I went to the eye doctor last week, and they took my old glasses and said, "You want us to tighten them up?" And I said, "Sure." And they broke them. So I spent the last week with Scotch tape holding it all together. And so, you know, it's just...
Is Matt looking uglier now, or...?
No, Matt actually looks better. He shaved today,
okay.
And he's looking really, really squeaky clean. And, of course, that makes him even more articulate.
Okay, great.
So, Faz, first up on the Libby trial front, I got word that Joe and Valerie Wilson are packing up. They're moving to Santa Fe or somewhere nearby in New Mexico. They've kind of had enough of the Washington scene. And we just heard a few minutes ago that Congressman Henry Waxman is inviting Patrick Fitzgerald. This is not a subpoena so far or a command performance, but is inviting Fitzgerald to come up to the Hill and have a chat.
Yeah, it's exciting. But also as part of what Chairman Waxman announced today, he's going to actually hold hearings next week on the Plame leak, and I think he's bringing in Valerie Plame herself. And so I'm not sure on who the other panelists will be, but that's certainly well overdue and certainly one of the benefits of a new Democratic Congress in place. And as you said, he's also seeking a private meeting with Patrick Fitzgerald to discuss whether he might be also able to testify. And as he wrote in a letter to Fitzgerald, Waxman is saying that what Fitzgerald's investigation was at heart a legal investigation about criminal matters, but what he wants from Fitzgerald is a discussion about what political impacts come from his investigation, particularly this cloud over the White House, the cloud over the vice president that Fitzgerald talked about.
I'd sure like to have Fitzgerald explain to the extent he's able, and I realize that he has some grand jury secrecy issues and other things that might limit his candor. But I'd really like to know what made him decide not to pursue any further investigations. So many of us thought that Libby was just the first step and that convicting him would put pressure on others to come forward and tell the truth. And the way this is being spun now by the right is that Fitzgerald's going home to Chicago because there isn't anything here, and basically he just stumbled on the lies of Scooter Libby, and if it weren't for that, there wouldn't have been anything here. And I simply don't buy that.
Yeah, it is frustrating. There are frustrating elements to this investigation, particularly also the Karl Rove stuff that, you know, certainly I think Karl Rove did the same things that Scooter was doing. Now we learned through the trial that there were probably 10 administration officials who were leaking her name. So it's a little bit puzzling and kind of distressing that Scooter was the only one to face criminal penalties for it. And as you say, I think there's certainly more to pursue. I think that the issue for the special prosecutor here is he doesn't believe that there's enough to go off in terms of a criminal prosecution of the vice president, which, of course, would have to be a very high barrier. He'd have to clear a very high hurdle. But what his investigation certainly did was lay out a whole host of political problems that I think if I were in the special prosecutor's mind, I would be saying that he thinks that this is now a political story and that political, legislators need to step in and do their role.
Well, I can understand that, but I just have this fundamental issue that this was about pushback and smearing the people who had criticized the administration. We have to think back to the summer of 2003. We had declared mission accomplished, but Saddam was still at large. And the Bush administration was increasingly embarrassed by the lack of evidence to support the WMD claims. And then this came along, and they decided to play hardball with this guy. And to me, there is an underlying set of crimes that were committed, and they don't just relate to the exposure of Valerie Plame and her role at the CIA, but the whole effort to mislead the American people into this war. And I realized that Fitzgerald was never going to go that far, but I felt that the work of the White House Iraq group was a conspiracy to cover up the inaccurate or, intentionally false information that we were fed in 2002.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I think that the issue would be what crime can he go after Cheney for, and unfortunately, if I remember correctly, Vice President Cheney met with Fitzgerald not under oath. I think he just spoke with him and agreed to do that. So he doesn't have a false statements or a perjury charge because he wasn't under oath.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other issue is whether you could go after him for the underlying crime, the divulgence of Valerie Plame's identity. And again, on that issue, I think it's the same reason why he didn't go after Libby for this, that you have to have intent. You have to know intent. And intent's a very hard thing to prove, particularly when Libby is out there obstructing justice. So it's a very difficult, you know, hurdle that he'd have to clear to go after Cheney.
Mm-hmm. So as the progress report details today, the president decided to head to South America. Now, this was planned before the Libby verdict came in. I don't want to connect those two issues. But what the hell is he doing there? As you point out, he had promised early in his term that he was going to be a president for this hemisphere.
Well, remember, he got a lot of heat in 2000 because he wasn't somebody who had a lot of foreign policy experience. And the one thing he kept saying was, well, I've been to Mexico, and I got good relations with Mexico because I've been the governor of Texas, a border state. And as it's turned out, you know, Mexico has actually become quite a hostile partner to us because Bush has alienated Vicente Fox and the whole Mexican administration over a whole host of different issues. And it's not much better when you look around all of South America. In fact, one of the stories here about South America that a lot of people haven't paid attention to is a very strong, vibrant anti-Americanism that's spreading. I don't think it's about an anti-Americanism towards the people of America. It's an anti-Americanism towards the government of the United States. It's something that really needs a lot of healing. There's a huge rift there. I don't think Bush is the person to do it. I think he'll only exacerbate it in this trip, and hopefully the next president can take that and cure it.
And they made a careful selection of the countries he's visiting, and there are also some rallies in neighboring countries to kind of send the message that he shouldn't come there.
Yeah, he's going to Colombia, Uruguay, Brazil, Guatemala, and Mexico. And you know, Brazil is certainly a key player, but a lot of the other ones, you know, they're places that he has some bastion of support, particularly with the leaders of those countries, except for Mexico. I think he has to visit there, and he doesn't have too much support. But he's not visiting, of course, Chavez and Evo Morales and the other places where he has a whole host of people that are against him and his policies. And so they're clearly trying to build this anti-Chavez coalition. And I don't think that they're going to be quite successful at it because all that President Bush is delivering here is rhetoric. He's not actually changing his actions.
But he'll speak a little Spanish, won't he?
That's right. That's right. We love President Bush's Spanish.
They'll script that right in there. We're going to continue in just a moment with Faz Shakir. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. And in today's Progress Report, three great items in the Under the Radar section. We'll get to those next, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmo Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Carmo Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmo Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Carmo Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid Carmo Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
As I was walking over the highway, I saw above me and in the skyway, I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for you and me.
We continue now with Faz Shakir. As I mentioned, he's co-editor of the Progress Report, published 5 times a week from the Center for American Progress in Washington. They do a great job of reporting some of the news and analyzing it, giving you links to various details. And it's free in your email. Just log on to progressreport.org and sign up there, and it'll come automatically. Faz, as I've mentioned to you before, sometimes the hottest items are in your segment called Under the Radar, and we're going to talk later today about the medical care problems that are identified as a result of the scandal over Walter Reed, but of course it goes much deeper than that. And in the Progress Report, you point out that many lawmakers have been aware of this problem for at least two and a half years.
Yeah, one of the prominent lawmakers that we highlight today is a gentleman named Bill Young. He was the chairman of the House Appropriations Defense Subcommittee during the 109th Congress, and he's somebody who brought in General Kevin Kiley, who was then the chief administrator over Walter Reed. He brought him in for a hearing and told him how great he was, told him he knew him for many years, and he was providing the best military care around. And now we hear a different story, and that is Bill Young's backtracking, now blaming Kevin Kiley, and he's saying that in many instances and many times he got in Kevin Kiley's face on a regular basis, and he was trying to tell him that the conditions at Walter Reed were so terrible, and nobody would listen to him. So we're hearing an interesting new story from Young to try to shift his own attention away from his own kind of abhorrent behavior on this scandal.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's I think they're going to have a hard time containing this. Part of it is that many of the issues lie with the Veterans Administration, and Jim Nicholson is a real empty suit. I mean, that...
he's former RNC director, right? And that seems to be his qualification for the job.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
and he was before this job, he was the ambassador to the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, those ambassadorships are just given to political supporters, and so Bush brings them back after Anthony Principi, who was the former VA secretary, left, and he actually was quite good. He had a good relationship with veterans, even though he was doing a terrible job of fighting for their budget. But he was still a member of the veterans community and pretty well liked. So they replaced Principi with Nicholson, who, as you say, is a pure hack. He's a Michael Brown in the Michael Brown category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he makes Brownie actually look pretty good. Next item here, Lieberman and McConnell once sponsored a bill that they now claim would create a constitutional crisis. I'm no fan of Joe Lieberman, and his recent threats to, you know, stop caucusing with the Democrats, which would throw control back to the Republicans in the Senate, is one that I find very offensive. And you point out that, he was part of an effort to create a similar problem, micromanaging the Defense Department and the administration, just a few years ago.
Yeah, he and now the minority leader, Mitch McConnell, had co-sponsored this legislation that would have authorized the deployment of U.S. forces only for airstrikes, not for ground combat during the Kosovo campaign. So, and this was actually while the Kosovo war was going on, the conflict was going on. And so certainly they were micromanaging the Kosovo conflict from Congress, authorizing President Clinton only to do air campaigns, no ground campaign. And so for him to now claim that Congress can't micromanage or assert its own constitutional authority in the Iraq War is hypocritical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and there are also, this is not directly related, but last week Lincoln Chafee, who is the former moderate Republican senator from Rhode Island, published an op-ed in the New York Times reminding people about the Levin Amendment that was the alternative in October of 2002, and it would have required the president to come back to the Congress with authorization from the United Nations, or absent that, get a second round of approval from the American Congress before launching military action into Iraq. And I think that's worth recalling.
Yeah, and you remember that President Bush himself had said he actually rebutted the Levin Amendment, or they killed the Levin Amendment, because they told Congress, we won't go to war until we get a second UN resolution.
Yep.
And he said, you know, no matter what the vote count, I want a second UN resolution. And then when it came time for the UN to vote, having seen how our allies were stacking up, they decided not to call for the vote and go to war anyway.
Trust me once, I can't get. And you also have an item in here that there's a potential ethical violation by the head of the General Services Administration, who was structuring various events to exclude Democrats and feature Republicans for political reasons, including trying to exclude Nancy Pelosi from the opening of the new federal building in San Francisco.
Yeah, and we raise a question about whether this is even legal, and we don't think it is. The broad story here is this lady who's in charge of the General Services Administration, her name is Loretta Doane, was basically pandering to Republicans and trying to help, quote, our candidates by bringing them into these public events, these big local events around the country to try to drum up support for Republicans, because these usually have a lot of high TV coverage in the local markets. So she wanted to bring in Republicans and have them saturate these types of events, excluding Democrats. And one of the Democrats she tried to exclude was Nancy Pelosi. And so we raised this because Chairman Waxman, who we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. he'll be holding a hearing, I think a couple weeks from now, and he'll be bringing in Loretta Doane to testify.
Well, maybe there's a book, a movie, or a board game in this called Hide the Democrats.
that seemed to be their policy, certainly before the midterm elections, and that didn't work out too well for them.
Yeah. Faz, thank you very much. Great to talk to you today.
Thanks, Peter.
Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress. Again, you can log on and get the progress report in your email. free every day. Just log on to progressreport.org. Coming up next, Cliff Schechter returns to the Peter B. Collins Show. He's a political activist and a blogger, and he's the operator of TheRealMcCain.com. Got some doozies as we follow Mr. Straight Talk Crooked Walk. That's coming up next. And also next hour, Scott Dick checks in on military and veterans issues. We'll talk more about the Walter Reed flap and the powerful pushback from Washington State Senator Patty Murray in the Senate yesterday. That's ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 AM, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 AM from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
The Peter B. Collins Show. The antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
Sing it, Gnarls.
Does that make me crazy?
Charles Barkley easing us into this half hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. We're joined by Cliff Schechter. He's a political operator, activist, and he's dogging John McCain with the website therealmccain.com. Cliff, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm sorry to report to you that since you were last here, our station in Phoenix deserted us, and so we have listeners still there online. But not quite the connection that we had previously with the great city of Phoenix and the wonderful state of Arizona.
Well, who's dumb enough to take you off over there?
Well, we're not going to name names, just in the interest of not nailing other progressives.
Okay.
We'll just be polite about that.
Well, okay, we can do that, yeah.
So I wanted to check in with you because our other listeners, of course, are equally interested in John McCain, and maybe we'll talk about some other issues in the news with you, too.
Sure, whatever you'd like.
But up at The Real McCain, you gave us a little bit of the backstory of his appearance on Letterman last week, and you cite a report at the Huffington Post that some of his top staff people quit because he went on the Letterman show and kind of announced for president, and he hadn't bothered to tell all of his staff.
Yeah, that is in fact the case. I wish I had more information and could name names, because that would be more fun, of course.
Sure.
But it was a report first up in Radar magazine, which you may or may not be familiar with.
I'm not.
And it was picked up by the Huffington Post and a number of other outlets, and apparently he got spooked a little bit because Giuliani's numbers have been flying off the radar, and mm-hmm. his numbers have been falling, and he went ahead and pulled one of those here in California, so people be familiar with the Arnold Schwarzenegger move.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I guess in the end worked out for him okay, but in McCain's case, a number of staff who I think are professionals and used to actually, you know, having their candidate tell them when they do something as large as announce for the presidency,
mm-hmm.
were a little bit put off by that.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to the other gaffe that he committed on the Letterman show, but since you referenced Jay Leno and Schwarzenegger, there's still an interesting issue that lingers there, because Leno has, in both the recall and during last year's reelection campaign, permitted Arnold Schwarzenegger to come on his national television program, but in neither case did he invite, in the case of the recall, there were 133 other candidates, so maybe he's got an excuse there.
Yeah, but there are a few major ones.
Yeah, and including Arianna Huffington. And in this past cycle, the re-election, he had a single opponent. He was permitted to go on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, unopposed. And, of course, it's not like a Meet the Press or something where there's even the veneer of journalism. It's just joke-cracking, back-slapping, and
and he gets to show the fun, charming side without having to worry about any serious questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's, you know, it's a problem with the media overall, which is, ever since we got rid of the fairness doctrine, you know this quite well from working in radio, you know, there is no fairness. There used to have to be a balance of views, and mm-hmm. that, you know, I generally don't have any animus towards Jay Leno at all. I rather find him kind of funny sometimes, but I think that that's an abuse of that, because obviously he and Schwarzenegger know each other. They're probably friends, and it's an unfair advantage to Schwarzenegger, particularly mm-hmm. if one said, well, he's the only celebrity in there, but you named it quite well. Arianna Huffington's a celebrity in her own right. So it can't just be, well, we're having him on because, you know, he's a celebrity and people are more interested. Well, people are interested in Arianna, too. So I don't know. I don't buy it.
Right? Yeah. Well, when there was one televised debate in the recall, and it was a bit of a free for all because I think there were 7 or 8 people on the stage,
including the porn star, I think.
No, she didn't get invited to that, and Gary Coleman had to stay home too.
Well, if you want fun, what's better than a porn star and Gary Coleman? Really? I guess we can't answer that on the phone.
No, we can't. At any rate, the two people who really stood out in that exchange were Huffington and Peter Camejo, the Green Party candidate, who really had critical issues that they addressed to Schwarzenegger directly. And you may recall that Schwarzenegger kind of fumbled by trying to make a joke about Terminator 4 and dumping Ariana's head first into a toilet.
Yeah, and considering when you're a guy who has a 30-year record of sexually harassing, grabbing, breathing smoke into the faces of, and all sorts of other unseemly behavior with women, that might not have been the way you want to go.
Right, yeah.
I mean, he seems to, you know, again, he seems to have escaped it all unscathed. He seems to have that charisma. It reminds me a little bit of Ronald Reagan, where Reagan could say absolutely stupid things like trees sucking up oxygen. And could get away with it, and Arnold Schwarzenegger seems to have that same thing going for him.
Well, and again, we'll come back to McCain here, because I think that the media has lost its footing with both McCain and Schwarzenegger for different reasons, but the celebrity or the acclaim that they ascribe to these individuals clearly affects their ability to think critically about them.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, look, I was sitting around thinking about this today, rather, because I saw Barack Obama go up on the screen. And to be quite honest with you, I'm a fan of Obama's.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a very talented guy. I think he's an honest guy, and I'd be happy with him as our nominee. You know, to be clear, I've not endorsed anybody at this point. Not that my endorsement means all that much to anybody, but I'm not speaking as someone who supports one candidate or the other.
Understood.
Mm-hmm. So I'll say that I think Obama would make, but there's no doubt that the media has fueled a lot of his candidacy. There's just no doubt about it. And you sit there and you say to yourself, well, why? I mean, you look at someone like, let's say, Bill Richardson, who has an unbelievable amount of experience, who literally went and negotiated a peace treaty in Darfur,
mm-hmm.
has been called on to go and meet with North Koreans, was the Secretary of Energy, was in Congress, has been a governor, and it goes on and on, and he would be the first Hispanic president ever. And yet, for whatever reason, the star power of Obama, and Richardson's a pretty charismatic guy,
mm-hmm.
but the press has jumped on to Obama, and he's surged in the polls, and it's been largely that. And it's, you know, you can look at the same thing with Hillary Clinton, all the attention they give her, and oh my God, on the Republican side, McCain, but certainly Rudy Giuliani too, who, you know, hear these people speculate seriously. I mean, you know, if this guy, I would love to have this guy carry the conservative banner. I would love a guy who's been married 3 times, who the second time, you know, left his wife by announcing it to the press,
right,
while he's inviting his third wife, his current wife, to go come and stay in the mansion next to the kids.
Well, you got to be
kids
fair.
Speaking to him,
you know, he got immediate advice from Newt Gingrich on how to handle the breakup.
Right. Well, I don't think he quite did it when she was in the hospital with cancer. So he did it. He found a more interesting way, even than Newt, perhaps. I don't know. That depends on your opinion.
Right.
But you know, I mean, when you look at his personal life, when you look at the pro-choice and you know, not just pro-choice, but you know, doesn't believe in a partial birth abortion ban. I'm saying from a conservative perspective, you know, not just the on gay rights, but lived with a gay couple while he was, you know, who were friends of his while he was getting his second divorce.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a guy that should even be, the Republicans should even be frankly considering. For a lot of other reasons, as far as I'm concerned, nobody should be considering him.
Well, but he's gonna get the entire Republican will and grace vote.
That's true. All three of them will be. Well, actually, you know, one, as we find out more and more, you may have heard about this Corporal Matt Sanchez, who was at CPAC, this whole big controversy. I'm not sure if you have heard yet.
No, tell me.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's the latest Jeff Gannon. There's a new one in the Republican Party every,
oh.
You know, this guy was given the Gene Kirkpatrick Educational Freedom Award because he stood up to people. He was in the military, and he went and complained to people at Columbia University, where he was attending, had called him a baby killer and all these sorts of names like that, some made-up leftist group. And I'll say full disclosure, I got a master's degree at Columbia University. I don't remember any crazy leftist groups like the one that he made up, some socialist organization. Well, I don't remember it existing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can confirm it exists. So if somebody shows me it doesn't, okay, I'll believe it, and I'll eat crow on that.
Okay.
But he claims that, and so he was invited as a hero on all these conservative broadcasts, O'Reilly and Hannity. Hannity called him a great American. Got his picture taken with Ann Coulter. You're going to love the irony of that in one second. And Michelle Malkin and all these folks. And then it comes out that he is a gay prostitute in his past who was charging $250 a pop, no pun intended. and his gay porn name was Rod Majors.
Nope.
And I'm not making that up. You can look this up.
Now, is there a Ted Haggard connection?
Yeah, it's Jeff Gannon, then Ted Haggard, and I mean, this whole party, literally we need one sofa the size of the United States for them to all lie on and work out their psychosexual issues, their self-loathing and everything else, because again, I have no problem with that. I don't judge him based on his gay porn. I couldn't care less, frankly. I care because he then goes and chooses to speak at and attend a conference where Ann Coulter uses a slur towards gay people. And he was a gay prostitute. You know, I mean, it just these people are unbelievable. The level of hypocrisy, just when you think you've seen it all, there's always more.
Yeah, it is amazing. Cliff Schechter is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a comment you'd like to add, go ahead and call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. So coming back to John McCain appearing on the Letterman Show, he surprised his staff by announcing a kind of pre-announcement that he is going to run for president and that the real announcement will come in April. But then he stumbled in a manner that Senator Obama had been raked over the coals about for a comment he made in Iowa, using the term wasted to describe Americans who have died in Iraq. And for McCain, this seems much more problematic, and again, the media has not hammered him on it the way they did Obama.
Right.
But here's a guy who is openly supporting the president's surge. In fact, he wants to send more American troops than the president has acknowledged into Iraq in the coming months. And yet he slipped and used the word wasted to describe Americans who have died there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's amazing. I mean, if you look at Obama, if you look at the fact that he opposed the war in 2002, courageously so, stood up and said so, and you can make an argument that, you know, that using the word wasted, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. If you believe that this war has diverted our attention from the real enemy, which it has, weakened this country, which it has, caused huge structural budget deficits and hurt us economically, which it has, and we've lost, you know, the most valuable resource, American lives, based upon a lie, essentially, then I think there's quite a justification for using that. If you're John McCain and you're sitting there and saying, well, the only problem is we didn't do it right. We didn't have enough people over there. We're not causing enough mayhem in the Middle East. Let's contemplate going into Iran, for example, and every other stupid thing that John McCain has said. You know, I mean, to do my best self-plug that I can do, I'm working on the chapter right now in my book, which is coming out this summer, on John McCain, which, of course, will be called The Real McCain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on Iraq, and it looks into his record. And then every time, you know, he's continually moves the goalposts. And every time he says, well, 20,000 will be enough, and they come up with that. And he says, well, 30,000. And, well, I mean, he's always got more troops he wants to send over there. Of course, he won't tell you that we would need a draft to come close to being able to send the number of troops over there that he wants to send over there. And he won't admit that. So, you know, and Letterman, he comes out and he uses the word wasted. Well, you know, in his case, that's an unbelievable gaffe because, if anything, he's been a part of the wasting, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a good bit of the opening segment on Saturday Night Live, which was, I think, originally broadcast in January, and then they replayed it last weekend. Pardon me, they have a Bush impersonator who says that in addition to the troops he's sending, he starts ticking off, we're going to send every uniformed security guard, policeman, fireman, nurse. And by the end of it, he has identified 76 million Americans who he's going to send to Iraq to try to pacify a population of about a third of that. And, of course, it was absurd. And, it neatly sent up the absurdity of the president's surge plan. Cliff, we're going to take a break and return. We'll go to the phones in the next segment. If you want to talk with Cliff Schechter, he'd be delighted to take your call. 888-5-PETER-B is our number, toll-free. It's 1-888-573-8372. And I remain your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
One-Day Income Tax Service, family-owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One-Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One-Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One-Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One-Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm trying to get all my systems to work here so that I can do this.
No fighting. We got the refugees. No fighting. No fighting.
Al and Judy listen to the Peter B. Collins Show on the Internet from Washington State. And they were trying to figure out this song that I play once in a while, just for the heck of it.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that.
It's one of those songs that promotes the artist by relentlessly mentioning her name.
Shakira, Shakira.
And if you've seen the video, she's hot. She's quite a dancer. Those hips don't lie. And if you haven't seen it, check it out. We continue now with Cliff Schechter. He is a political activist. He's got a book coming out called The Real McCain later this year. And the website is up, therealmccain.com, where you can check in on the latest antics of the senator from Arizona. And we were talking in a kind of a digression that attracted the interest of Eric in San Francisco, Cliff. He said, after Leno had Arnold on his show prior to the last election, I emailed the station and suggested that the opponent, the Democrat Phil Angelides, should have gotten a chance to be on the show as well. I even suggested he could put Angelides and Arnold on both on the show together, and they could have one last debate with Leno as moderator. But I doubt Jay Leno or anyone who books the guests ever actually got the note.
It might have been fun to see a mock debate on The Tonight Show. At least it would have been a little more fair that way. Well, that's from Eric in San Francisco, and I agree.
Well, yeah, you certainly can't argue with that.
Yep. Let's go to Daniel in Santa Cruz. Thanks for your call, Daniel. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Cliff Schechter.
Hey, how's it going? So I'm wondering, ridicule and humor can get a lot of people on your side, but those people are already in your camp. And if you're like Arnold and you're calling people a girly man, does that win hearts and minds of people other than those who are already in your camp? And this is actually directed more at you, Peter, than it is at Cliff, and mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you think that calling Ann Coulter a bimbo is a way to win hearts and minds and to bring people into the progressive liberal camp.
Yes.
I think
bimbo is very generous in her case. She is a demagogic hate monger. And, you know, whether I don't care what your politics are, you should be able to identify that. Cliff?
I agree 100%. Excuse me. Again, anybody who reads what I write, I just believe sometimes it's called for us to go after them very harshly. You can't sit down and let them call you names and not say what you think about them. And so, you know, plus I believe humor absolutely, I've found, is a way to reach out to people. It really is. Sadly, you know, I mean, that's the thing. The truth of the matter is, in Arnold Schwarzenegger's case, is that a lot of his humor and his charisma is what reaches out to people and convinces people to vote for him.
Well, and Daniel, there is a difference. You know, Ann Coulter's sliming of John Edwards last week, she says, was a joke. Well, for us on the left, jokes that really are hateful or are factually inaccurate, you know, like calling him a faggot, we don't really regard that as humorous. And
no,
so there is a humor gap between the left and the right.
Right. I mean, if you were to say, let's, for example, Ann Coulter is a walking Adam's apple, well, you know, that would be funny. But, I didn't even get a laugh on that one. Maybe not.
What's the common ground that we can agree on as far as Ann Coulter? That she's wrong about a certain issue? And what is the issue? So let's speak to the issues and not hit the hot button.
We have to look at how she operates. She is a provocateur. She is not a serious individual who has, you know, deep positions on the issues. Her positions are liberals are wrong, liberals are guilty of treason, and that's pretty much the end of her story.
Yeah, and if I can say
that. And that's an easy argument to counter.
Go ahead, Cliff.
I just want to say, you're right, and you do need to counter her points. I try to make it when I write, when I go on television, whatever I do, is to counter the other side. But the truth is, and Peter can tell you this, is with media today, and that's part of the Schwarzenegger thing, you know, policy speeches don't get covered. They should, and in a perfect world they would. But if you don't go on, if you don't say things that at the same time is making very good factual arguments, if you're not at least somewhat entertaining and interesting.
And sexy.
No one will listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's a sick sign of our society. But
it is.
Thanks for your thoughts.
Okay,
sure.
Daniel, and you get a free spin here of the Girly Man song.
Who can take California? Set it on its ear. Stop it in its tracks and take it out of gear. The girly man,
the girly man,
the girly man can,
the girly man.
All right, enough of that. John in Carmel Valley, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Cliff Schechter.
The subject came up 5 minutes ago or so about how frequent hypocrisy is a problem, and no doubt it is. And I'm convinced that probably 50% of the entire population could not define the word. And hugely the reason is, ask yourself if you've ever attended church, even for just a year or all your life, have you ever heard a sermon on it? I'm 61, I went to church faithfully up until my 30s. Then even went beyond that till about 40 in another church altogether. Never heard a sermon on it. The best commentary on hypocrisy that I know of are the dialogues that Jesus has with the Pharisees in Matthew. You can hear that still in the Catholic Church. That's the only place probably that scripture. He not only called them whited sepulchers. I love his expression. I think it's more apt, blind guides.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really want to know why the golden rule, which is the answer to the human dilemma of why we mistreat each other, which is the real problem, it's to understand hypocrisy. That's the key to it. He said about the Pharisees, you heap big burdens on other men's shoulders and you refuse to carry them yourself.
John, I'm out of time, but you make a very good point. And back there in my Jesuit training, we talked a lot about hypocrisy. So
it's talked about.
It's
Let
out
me
there.
Say quickly, you know, I think Al Franken had a funny and a great line where he talked about the Bible and he said, you know, it's my understanding of it, if you take out all the parts where Jesus talks about helping the poor, you'd have enough room to fit Rush Limbaugh's Oxycontin in.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Where go?
Tom Hartman.
As a country, we should have a national trade policy. And that trade policy should, at its core, at the very least, say that, by and large, we want to make sure that if we are buying $1 trillion worth of stuff from the rest of the world, that we are selling $1 trillion worth of stuff to the rest of the world.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
Because otherwise, we end up a banana republic.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon, on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Democrats present their plan.
With the goal of redeploying combat forces from Iraq by the end of March of next year.
The top general in Iraq predicts more sensational attacks.
This is just going to continue. I mean, we are in the early stages of this.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
First Lieutenant Scott M. Love, Private.
As Democrats on the House floor read the names of the war dead, their leaders unveiled a new plan to bring U.S. forces home, and this one has teeth. Speaker Nancy Pelosi says they will attach conditions to the $100 billion measure President Bush says he has to have to fund the war, and it will set deadlines for withdrawing U.S. combat forces.
Our troops are out no later than August of 2008.
Republicans immediately condemned the tactic, but it could put them in the uncomfortable position of supporting the deadline or opposing a measure that funds the troops in Iraq. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Peter Mayer in Sao Paulo, Brazil. The White House warns the president would veto any troop withdrawal timetable proposal. Presidential counselor Dan Bartlett calls it a plan for an artificial, precipitous withdrawal. The White House also accused Democrats of making political calculations instead of listening to the generals. Miles away from where the president is staying, Brazilian riot police fired tear gas at anti-Bush protesters. In the morning, the president is scheduled to discuss biofuels technology with Brazilian President Lula. Peter Mayer, CBS News, with the president in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Now this. So, you're a consultant?
Yes, sir.
What's with the wall of sticky notes?
It's my small business accounting system. Unpaid invoices go on the purple ones.
And the green?
New customers.
So, unpaid bills are the yellow ones.
How'd you know?
I took a shot. You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Yeah?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you write checks, send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't.
I'll switch. So, need a couple hundred sticky notes?
I'm going to pass on that. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at OfficeMax, Best Buy, or Amazon.com.
My husband had a health concern a month ago.
Mr. Thompson, everything looks good.
Oh, thanks, doctor.
It turned out to be nothing, but it got us doing more for our health.
And stretch and bend.
Like morning exercise and taking silver.
Centrum Silver Multivitamin is age-adjusted. It helps protect your health as you age with key antioxidants that help support natural cell repair. Centrum Silver Multivitamin.
Things are sure changed around here.
Our health protection starts with silver.
Take along with a healthy diet and exercise.
General David Petraeus, the new U.S. commander in Iraq, offered a sobering assessment today.
I have been, on occasion, bemused by people saying, hey, how's it going? Have you won yet? And the answer is, we've just started.
Petraeus said the security crackdown is likely to extend well beyond summer, but military action alone will not stop the insurgency in Iraq. That, he said, requires political progress and improved services for the Iraqi people. CBS News correspondent Alan Pizzi reports on the continuing struggle to restore electricity.
Countrywide supplies are approaching pre-war levels, but in Baghdad, it's as low as 6 hours a day and sporadic. Many neighborhoods rely on privately run generators for a supply so precious it needs armed guards. It doesn't always work.
Despite $4 billion spent, U.S. officials say full-time power won't be restored for another 6 years. Most countries in the coalition of the willing are reducing their presence in Iraq, but the Republic of Georgia just announced its current force of 850 will be increased to more than 2,000. Subtle shift in the Bush administration's arms-length attitude toward Iran and Syria. Both countries will have representatives at the regional conference in Baghdad this weekend, and a U.S. diplomat says if we're approached over orange juice to discuss an Iraq-related issue, we are not going to turn and walk away. Edward Soto will never forget.
I don't think there's going to be another night in my life where I'm going to fall asleep and not think about this.
Hearing screams in his Bronx neighborhood, Soto ran to a burning row house just in time to catch an infant tossed from a window by its desperate mother. Neighbors and firefighters managed to save some, but 8 children and 1 woman died in the fire.
It just seems more painful and more unfair when it's children that die. When children die, everyone around them, everyone who loved them, die a little bit as well.
Mayor Mike Bloomberg says the building had 2 smoke detectors, but no batteries. The occupants may have wasted precious time trying to put out the fire themselves. It's a sure sign of spring. Gasoline prices are rising.
We've seen about a 30-cent increase in the national average for regular unleaded in about 30 days.
Brad Proctor of GasPriceWatch.com. This week, prices topped $3 a gallon in parts of New York, California, and Hawaii. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hello?
Awful night.
Beth?
My erosive acid reflux.
Haven't you heard of Protonix pantoprazole sodium?
What?
Protonix. One daily tablet helped control daytime, even nighttime acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms too?
Yep, even helped repair acid reflux damage. Plus, I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan.
Right. Gotta go.
Where?
To see my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 866-794-ACID to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Thanks for tuning our way today. We're going to spend this hour with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs. And next hour, we throw open the phone lines in the free speech zone. We may get an update from Washington from Robert Perry on the Washington Post treatment of the Libby verdict and the way they continue to trash Joe Wilson. And, we have a couple other things pending for our final hour today, too. But mostly it'll be your phone calls. And you know the number here, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. By the way, tomorrow you'll hear pre-recorded programs, what we call the best of Peter B. Collins, as I will be away attending a radio conference in Los Angeles. And we'll be back live with you on Monday, as usual. Scott Dick is our contributor on military and veterans affairs. He served in the Marines and then retired from the Army as a major, and he just got back from a 2-week trip to Germany. Welcome back, Scott.
Thank you, Peter. It's always a pleasure to be home and not moving in any kind of transportation.
Like JetBlue?
I flew in JetBlue. Yes, I did indeed. Hey, Peter, I have a request for some special bumper music.
Oh, okay. What would you like?
I would like to hear War.
Edwin Starr, the man who coined the phrase, "Beats don't fail me now." All right, there you go, Scott. We do play bumper music requests here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter. You know, it is good for something. It is making some rich people richer.
Mm-hmm.
People who own contracts, especially people who are contracting out medical support for places like Walter Reed Army Hospital.
Yeah. Well, in the 2 weeks that you were away, it's been quite a scandal. And we do give credit to the Washington Post. They ran a series of lengthy investigative pieces about the problems of Walter Reed. We also like to be fair to the people who've been on that story for a long time, including some great writers at Salon.com. And so in many ways, this isn't really news, but I welcome the attention to these issues because otherwise more soldiers would have been badly treated, consigned to rat-infested quarters, and then kind of left on their own for the transition to the unknowns of the VA.
Now, Peter, think about this, and I want everybody who's listening to think about how many troops before these kids who maybe on their second tour were wounded and sent to Walter Reed spoke up. I guess they figured that surviving in Iraq, even without all their body parts, what else was there left to fear? And now I'm reading Army Times articles saying that people at Walter Reed, these young soldiers that are wounded, are being forced to get up at 6 o'clock and prepare their rooms for inspection at 7. And these are medical hold people, and this is punishment for speaking out about these conditions.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you and I talked before the show today. There was a powerful session on Capitol Hill yesterday, and I give a lot of credit to Senator Patty Murray of Washington State, because she had Kiley there, General Kiley, who is now the Surgeon General of the Army, and previously he was running Walter Reed. And she addressed this issue in a very blunt way and forced him to give his personal word that he would ensure that no soldier is punished or, you know, otherwise badly treated for blowing the whistle on poor conditions and poor treatment.
Well, apparently he's already lying. You know, I want to play who can let's play who can be more outraged after 3 years of deafening silence. Chris Matthews? Or General Pete Schumacher, who is the current chief of staff.
Mm-hmm.
I had jet lag, and so I was up in the middle of the night, and I channel flipped to MSNBC, and I watched Hardball. And Chris Matthews was freaking out. He did a segment called "When Do Heroes Become Burdens?" or some nonsense like that. And it's the only thing I've seen him do on the troops yet. And it was a lot of, it was disgusting to watch him suddenly play somebody who really supports the troops.
Well, just a quick diversion here, because I watched Chris Matthews' Hardball last night, and I was appalled because he brought on a woman who was juror number 11 in the Libby trial, and at one point he was asking her for her impressions of the various players in the courtroom. And he said, "Patrick Fitzgerald." And she started to answer, and he cut her off. And he gave his own impression of Patrick Fitzgerald and then said, "Am I right?" And she said, "No." And then he just moved on and started talking about somebody else. He asked the question. He answered it for her. When she disagreed, he just ignored it.
You know, Peter, we've been talking about this. You and I have been talking about this on your show since I've known you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I say that the VA's underfunded again by $3.6 billion, I don't know what people are thinking. How do they think that the VA can't do its job now? It can't get concurrent computers. They can't link their health records with the Department of the Army health records. They can't protect minimum security like a stupid laptop. Why do they not think that our troops would get hurt this way?
Well, and what we have now is a series of distraction tactics by sacking the Secretary of the Army, and you know, removing some of the people who were nominally in charge of Walter Reed. That's supposed to satisfy some people. But the underlying issues, as you point out, are severe. And here we have a government that will not estimate the cost of the war and continues to use these emergency appropriations, these special bills to fund the war. And as Senator Murray correctly pointed out, and in fact, she was there with her colleague, Republican Lindsey Graham, who agreed on most of these points, that the administration, and they point at Rumsfeld primarily, has never been willing to give an honest assessment of the needs for medical care for returning wounded vets. And they have just played down the issue as if it would go away if they didn't talk about it. But here is an administration and a Congress that has appropriated over $300 billion for the war, and they continue to shortchange the Veterans Administration, which is the, you know, most important agency that many of these wounded vets will deal with for the rest of their lives.
For the rest, 50 or 60 or, for lucky, 70 years, Peter. And this is, you know, problems with housing at Walter Reed or medical processing, never heard of it. You know, the Army Times has been writing about this for a couple years now, and like I said, we talked about this before, and I think that both the Surgeon General and the Chief of Staff both need to either resign or be fired. This Kiley guy who has blamed everything on the media needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Peter, you go to war with the VA that you have, not the VA that you want.
Yep.
And I think that the perfect solution for all this is just want to be the first one to recommend Rumsfeld for the Medal of Freedom. You're doing a heck of a job, Rummy. Because this is all a direct result. Gates doesn't need to be blamed. Rumsfeld needs to be just vilified in the media. And instead, what's happening? The media, actually, Dole came out and said, where were the two big veterans organizations when all this was going on? Apparently, what happened, Peter, is both of these organizations have covered this up to protect the Army. They've known about it. They've tried to work inside the system, and I put quotations around that, work inside the systems. They both have vested interests in dealing with the U.S. government. Now the veterans of foreign wars have come out and said the national commander of the Veterans of Foreign Wars is taking exception to a comment made yesterday by former Senator Bob Dole. Blah, blah. I said you wonder where all the veteran service organizations were. With all due respect to Senator Dole, this is a very reckless comment to make. That's all he says. He doesn't say he's wrong, we've been working hard, here are the people we work with. He says it's a reckless comment. What does that mean? And the Foreign Legion. The American Legion writes, every American serviceman and woman wounded or injured in the line of duty deserves the absolute best care under the best circumstances. Certainly, according to the Washington Post, it appears that these military men and women assigned to blah, blah, blah. It appears.
Yeah.
They've been on top of this. They've been working inside the system, and they're still lying, and this really makes me mad. And I think that anybody who's a veteran or a retiree should send just flaming emails to these two organizations, because they've let our real veterans down. And, you know, the big issue in the American Legion is getting under God in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, right. That'll fix everything.
That'll fix it. So
yeah.
This just infuriates me, and they're attacking a lifetime member of the Veterans of Foreign Wars. That's Bob Dole, who is a vet. You know, he didn't shun service like Hannity and O'Reilly and Cheney and those other scumbags that support the troops unless it's, you know, really support the troops.
Well, but their version of support the troops means that the troops serve, they put their lives on the line, some of them die, some of them get wounded for life, and they should shut up and take what they're given, because, you know, this administration doesn't really value their contributions. They simply want to use them and pay as little as possible. Scott, we'll take a break and we'll talk more about this, about the way the medical evaluations are being used to deny people long-term care and to reduce their level of coverage at the VA when they get transferred. I want to open up the phone lines. Any of our vets or just American citizens who want to comment on this, I'd like to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. I know on the Central Coast and Monterey. We have many active duty and retirees, so feel free to join this conversation and comment. And a call from Fortuna, be a good day to hear from you, too. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. We'll continue with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, your number one Sunday morning real estate show, we'll have Jim Ross, the president and founder of National Real Estate Holdings. Jim specializes in undervalued pre-construction real estate opportunities. That's this week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10. For more information, call 408-892-3376 or visit our website, rockrollinrealestate.com. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a Bible solution. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Let's take a look at your traffic. We're going to cruise on over to Carmel. Quail Meadows Drive at Oak Trail. We have a large piece of construction equipment that is blocking the roadway there. So they're hopefully going to move that out of the road. Salinas Highway 68 at Hitchcock Road. We have an injury crash. Two vehicles blocking one of the lanes there. We've got to mention that it appears one person is trapped in one of those cars, and emergency crews on scene trying to tend to that injured person. So that's not good news there. Aptos, southbound one at State Park Drive. Fender bender, right shoulder. Two cars involved in this one, so be advised. And we want to let you know the support is brought to you by the folks at Napa Auto Parts. Right now, bringing any old hat to Napa Auto Parts and get a new Napa racing hat free with any purchase while supplies last. Limit one per customer. Napa, get the good stuff. I'm Mike. That's traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Mission accomplished, right? We're talking about military and veterans issues with our regular contributor, Scott Dick, who's just returned from a two-week trip to Europe. And he's a little jet-lagged, but gives him the opportunity to watch TV in the middle of the night and catch up on things he wouldn't have otherwise seen. And we're taking your calls if you'd like to join us at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And, Scott, one of the things that you also have been bringing forward over the last year, year and a half, has been the issues of the transition from active military duty with the health care of places like Walter Reed and then transitioning into the Veterans Administration health care system, which is way overloaded, underfunded, and as we are learning, not nearly equipped to deal with some of the TBI, traumatic brain injuries, that are occurring in Iraq. And also, despite the long history of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, the military is claiming that they don't really have the resources or capabilities to deal with those kinds of chronic problems.
Peter, the VA has been just a dumping ground for our nation's wounded and disabled veterans. I know, as long as I've been aware, there have been scandals in the VA system, broken down facilities, incorrect medications, doctors who were practicing after they were fired from several different places and had provisional licenses were malpracticing on veterans. It's been the shortage of nurses, people who are not trained, inadequate care, long waiting times. It's just been over and over and over. In the modern times now, 1.8 million veterans' information lost or stolen, and this just, it goes on and on. And it's a dumping ground, and we've never really adequately taking care of our wounded or disabled veterans. Our active mobile veterans who look healthy, we gave them the GI Bill, we gave them home loans, that kind of thing, but our it goes right back to the end of World War One when the general of the Army, chief of staff of the Army, his name escapes me and he's quite famous, MacArthur, used troops to break up the bonus marchers and actually injured some of his troops that actually served with him in World War One. It's just been diabolical.
Well, you mentioned World War One, and again, you and I talked before the show today, and you mentioned that recently one of what is seen as the last of the World War One veterans passed away at the age of 104 or 107. And if you just do a ballpark calculation, he was a veteran for almost 90 years. And that's what we have to look at in terms of the real cost of the war in Iraq.
Absolutely.
These severely injured soldiers are going to be with us in some cases for as long as 80 or 90 years. And we've seen that while the tax cuts the Bush administration vaunts so much are, in force as far as the eye can see, the appropriations for the Veterans Administration in the current proposals drop off sharply, even from the inadequate levels they're at today, in 2 and 3 years from the current budget cycle.
Sure. None of these guys ever served a day in uniform. They don't really feel anything towards the troops, you know. It's like mainstream America, they have this duality that holds, since soldiers are volunteer pawns, then if they're stupid enough to volunteer, then they're stupid enough to deserve to be treated like dirt, especially if they're damaged goods. But they'll support the troops with bumper stickers and cards. You know, they send cards to any wounded soldier, and they're just like, get well, you know, grow that arm back soon cards.
Ooh.
It would be better for them to send them a $20 bill and say, hey, give this to this kid, to your kids, because after you get out of the military system, you're going to be poor. You're going to be impoverished, basically.
Yeah.
Can't work. Your pension is going to be... Oh, speaking of pensions, we know they've played... The bean counters have monkeyed around with pensions since the World War II. They did it with Korean War veterans, with Agent Orange veterans, the atomic veterans. They just wait for them to die. I can imagine somebody who's missing an arm and a leg, has cutting-edge prosthetics, getting $800, $900, $1,000, $1,200 a month. That's going to be their pensions for the rest of their lives. That's all they're going to get, Peter.
Yeah. Ben joins us from Salinas. Good afternoon, Ben.
Peter, you know what? We're in trouble. We were celebrating after November 7th. You know, what the hell? Nothing's changed. Not one darn thing has changed. The Democrats don't have the guts to use the filibuster. They let Alito and Roberts get in there, and yet the Republicans have the guts. They're going to filibuster anything that's going to challenge Bush's authority. We still don't have habeas corpus. They're still building those concentration camps all over the damn country. They have no trouble finding the money for that. We're in trouble. What do we do to deserve this? I'm sorry, we don't know how. Democratic bunch of cowards. Not only are they not giving a reason to vote in 208 for any Democrat, they're giving us reasons not to. We're going to get stuck with Jeb Bush and Condoleezza Rice if we don't get off. You know, there's got to be some response to this totalitarian fascism that we're being pushed into, and the people that we elected to fight for us, they seem to be a bunch of no-will, knock-kneed little cowards to step. If the only tool you've got is to cut off the money, cut off the damn money. Or other than that, we need a general strike. But, man, we're in big trouble, brother.
Well, Ben, I wish I could just dismiss your arguments and say, you know, buddy, you're wrong.
I wish you could too, sir.
But I can't. And we are in a terrible fix, and we're not getting appropriate leadership, in my view, from the Democrats. And we need to keep pushing them and make it very clear that we will give them cover if they cut off the funds. And let me just add one other voice, Charlie Anderson from Military Families Speak Out, said on behalf of the families, do cut off the funds.
Yes. You know, I talked to 20 congressmen this morning, 20, Peter. Mm. They're all saying the same thing. There's nothing that nobody can do to stop what Bush is doing or to stop the money from the Treasury. They're going to give him everything he wants. What the hell did we win an election for?
Very good question, Ben. Thanks for your outrage. I appreciate it. More calls coming up with Scott Dick. 888-5, Peter B. is our number.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
The days of wine and roses.
The fastest growing disease in America is addiction. It's time we talk about it openly. This is Sheila Gale. Join me Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5 for 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addiction. It's about time.
That wasn't there before.
How could this have gone undetected? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Everybody's wondering how it could happen. So many stories of neglected Iraq War veterans. How could this have gone undetected for 4 years? Even conservative Republican Ted Stevens ran out of patience. After hearing that wounded soldiers feared retaliation if they spoke up, he said, quote, "We should be retaliating against people who put this fear in these people. It's got to stop." Who was sending the message to soldiers that they shouldn't speak up? I searched the web for clues, and I found an interview from 2003 with a soldier just returned from Baghdad. He'd been stationed near the airport, and he was there the day President Bush paid that famous Thanksgiving visit. And I quote from the interview, quote, "The day before, you had to fill out a questionnaire and answer questions that would determine whether they would allow you in the room with the president. Question, what was on the questionnaire? Answer, do you support the president? And if the answer was not a gung-ho, A1, 100% yes, then you were not allowed into the cafeteria. You were not allowed to eat the Thanksgiving meal that day." The soldier also said this, "I've seen lots of people with severe permanent injuries. They're going to need a lot of help when they get back home because their lives are going to change forever. And to have the guy," and here he was referring to the president, "to have the guy cutting billions from the VA budget at a time when you've got all these guys coming back from overseas with major injuries, that's disgusting." Unquote. So, how did this go undetected for 4 years? We should probably call that soldier and ask him. Except we can't. For some reason, he asked that his name not be disclosed. Now this.
Get the good stuff.
One of the most stylish accessories available at your local Napa Auto Parts store isn't for your car. It's for your head. It's the all-new 2007 Napa Racing Hat, and it can be yours free. Just bring any old hat to your local Napa Auto Parts store, and you can swap it for this cool new Napa Racing Hat. Hats are free with any purchase at participating Napa locations while supplies last. Limit one per customer. Napa. Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue now on the PBC show. Scott Tigg is my guest, our contributor on military and veterans issues. You're invited to call with a comment at 888-5-PETER-B. And next hour, we've just confirmed investigative reporter Robert Parry will join us. He's got a criticism of the Washington Post for its post-Libby conviction coverage. We'll talk about that. And that'll kick off the Free Speech Zone next hour. Lines open if you'd like to join me and Scott Dick. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Scott, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is the manner in which a wounded veteran is evaluated and how that evaluation affects their long-term care, the benefits that they're entitled to. And what I'm hearing, and in particular from this Washington Post series, is that there appears to be a concerted effort to reduce costs at the VA by downgrading the injuries and the health care needs of these injured vets.
Well, it's a board, and that's been going on for a long time, Peter. And every once in a while it surfaces, and I just want to put the mainstream media here in a crosshair. They had plenty of opportunity to, you know, address these issues before, and they've just been completely absent as usual, with the notable exception of Knight Ridder. And, you know, McClatchy now is just the shell of Knight Ridder. With
Joe Galloway. Yeah.
He's doing the best he can, but he's basically a one-man operation now that Knight Ridder's broken up. And it's, just let me get this in. Fox News has aired like 8 segments on Anna Nicole Smith and barely even mentioned the Walter Reed fiasco. And it's that's just something that they don't want to admit is going on. How is it possible that the Republican administration that supports the troops is not really supporting the troops? But anyway, first they're boarded by an Army medical board.
Mm-hmm.
And, are they faking? Do they really have a back injury? Obviously, if their injuries are pretty, horrific, they're missing arms and legs, that's not an issue. And they have, I believe, a formula that helps them figure out if they're going to be medically retired or just discharged. Most soldiers who are really incapacitated are medically retired, and they don't really go into the VA system. They stay in the military system.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, so they're affected by shoddy care. Right now, here, if I have a medical need, I use TRICARE, which is an insurance program. And if I want to get into the military system, I have to drive up to Travis Air Force Base in Fairfield, which is 3 hours away.
Right.
So you do see old veterans walking around the PX and that kind of thing, where they've had to drive themselves to Fairfield, or the ultimate is they have to move and live close to a military base to get that kind of close medical care.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're retired, as a staff sergeant or a sergeant, they only receive a certain amount of their benefits, and then the VA gives them a disability benefit as well. You can collect both. So they take that second part.
One of the anecdotes from the Washington Post series is about a soldier who was apparently, you know, mentally competent and healthy before he went to Iraq. He endured a brain injury, which is falling into the category of traumatic, a TBI. And the medical evaluation board said that he was probably retarded before he went to Iraq. And they apparently only qualified him for 25% of full benefit package.
Interesting. So he was retarded before he went, but we used him as cannon fodder, and now we're going to give him 25%.
Yeah. And his wife is livid, saying that he was mentally competent before he went. Maybe he wasn't the brightest bulb in the sockets, but he didn't have disorientation, memory loss, and the other issues that he presents with now.
That's been going on for a long time, Peter. This is the VA at its best, and just if you're in the military right now, you better just pray that you don't have any kind of injury that you have to go to the Veterans Administration for.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that Kiley and the other generals have been saying, they've been widely interviewed on television and also subjected to almost daily, sometimes double congressional hearings. But one of the arguments they use is that many vets want to kind of minimize their injuries so that they can return to active duty. And they make it seem like this is a big issue. Lindsey Graham was saying that nearly half of the complaints that come into his office are people who want to amend their fitness reports, I don't know the exact acronym for it, to return to active duty, and that the healthcare system has put them in a status that doesn't permit that. That seems like a real large number. I have a hard time swallowing what Senator Graham has said there.
Well, now that seems counterintuitive to me, although when that medical board can make you unfit for reenlistment, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Once that not eligible for reenlistment is there and you run out of options, then you're basically a civilian. Now, think of that. If you had some kind of injury, say a traumatic brain injury, and you hung around Walter Reed for 18 months trying to get disposition of your case, what would you do? You'd get out of there as soon as possible, especially if you were living in Building 18.
Yeah.
And so then if you can't reenlist because of medical conditions, and that's something that goes on your DD-214 when you get out, that's probably that's the piece of paper. They're not going to let you come back in if you were medically discharged or aborted and you had some kind of disability. So it's a real catch-22. You want to get out of Building 18? You want to get out of the Walter Reed Medical System? Or, God help you, if you're in one of the smaller hospitals on another base that's been closed, they close the swimming pools because they don't have the money to maintain them, so they don't have money to maintain the hospital either.
Yeah.
So you'll take anything you can get. That day-to-day grind of getting up and staring at the walls and walking around and going to the PX and coming back, do that for 2 years. And you'll sign any piece of paper. It's like slow torture.
Yeah. Back to your calls now. Ed in Aptos, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show with Major Scott Dick.
Bruce.
Hello, Ed.
Hi.
Hi.
I had a couple of points. I was listening or heard, I didn't hear it directly, but Hagel castigating one of his, the generals or colonels that was up before him yesterday. And he said, you think you should resign or something like that. Well, I thought that the guy should have had balls and said, hey, do you think, shot back to Graham, do you think you resign? Because I lay it right in the laps of Congress, not, providing enough money to take care of these people.
Well, we are in finger-pointing mode here, and...
Well, let me jump in here, Peter, for a second, because
sure.
Republicans still in Congress have said that they knew about those conditions, they've been hearing about it from their constituents for a couple of years, but the excuses run deep and wide, and the Democrats, I have to say, to defend them, didn't have a chance to get that up through that rotten chain of commanders that were headed by Tom DeLay.
That's what I say, but Hagel was in the majority, so he has nothing to, if he feels that way about that guy, I think he should feel the same way about himself.
Yeah, he could have been a hero and said, this is unacceptable. Like, they jumped. Once we reported the demonstrations at soldiers' funerals, they finally, in their pushing the glacier kind of way, made some moves in the direction of stopping it. But there wasn't enough media attention on it to make them fear for any kind of backlash from the public. It's disgusting. You know, General Kiley, he should go. He's a Surgeon General. He's done nothing but blame the media. The media's blown this out of proportion. The housing conditions in the military, the veterans' hospitals are deplorable. It's all the media's fault. And the reason is because they're reporting it now.
Well, that brings me to the second point. I was wondering what was behind the two guys got fired. I guess it was the Secretary of the Army. And,
right. And the recent head of Walter Reed, Waitman, I think his name is.
Waitman.
Maybe they were probably trying to do something about it, and they, you know, they just wanted to keep them quiet and remove their platform, so they use this as a convenient way to, you know, to ship them out.
Well, Waitman stood up and said, now remember, he's a 3-star, so he's been vetted by Rumsfeld. So he's one of those guys, but the fact that he stood up and said, you know what, this is my responsibility, I still remember my infantry training and leading the way as an officer and a professional soldier, and so maybe I should go. But remember, he's got a golden parachute. His fall is not very hard.
Yeah.
He'll retire as a 2-star general. He'll be making about $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 pension a month. That's tough. That's really, really tough, and he's going to look like a good guy.
I can get him a good job with United.
he's a doctor. He's wearing the caduceus, so he's a doctor. He's not a pilot.
Well, they allowed a, you know, I've had my rear end worked over by a doctor or two, all in name of help.
Well, tell us more about that, but some other time.
Yeah, so this isn't a medical show.
Yeah, call Dr. Dan O'Dell.
It does. I mean, I just burns my house, whatever, the house of fecal material, that people that stand up and they have those crap on the back of their bumpers, how they don't get what supporting the troops are. And they stood up there so sanctimonious and say, let's support the troops, when what they mean is support the goddamn government.
And, you know,
or George Bush.
And the thing that really frustrates me is,
excuse my French.
That's okay. I was in Hoboken.
We'll send you the bill.
I was in Hoboken on Monday, and a car went by with ran a red light with a support the troops sticker on the back. And I just wanted to yell, did you vote? You support the troops. You know, it's just, it's fire and forget. You stick that magnet on the back of your car, and that suddenly makes you a patriot. And
Ed, thanks for your call.
And you know, the people that, you know, just how are we going to get to them? Because most of the people that, you know, that call into this show, and I'm assuming the most of the people that are listening to it, are the ones that, you know, you're preaching to the choir.
Well, this is what we should do, Ed and Peter. I'm just going to say this because this is irritating me to no end. I think that every liberal, every progressive that listens to your show, every time a soldier is killed or horribly wounded and maimed, they should, when their names are released, they should send an email to their congressperson and say, you know what, I want those troops out of there now and not wait. Or it's meaningless. Oh, let's give them a chance, let's blah, blah,
right.
Because
they have
a chance now. We're
They've
going to
got
be
a snowball's chance in hell of changing the attitude of the Iraqi people.
You know, and 50 years from now, Ed, you know, we might be lucky to be sitting across from this guy bound in a wheelchair. He's been in that chair 50 years. And,
yeah.
You know, we'll see him on the street corners. It's going to be ugly.
Yeah, it will. Thank you, Ed. I appreciate the call. And now to Dave and Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on with Peter B. and Scott Dick.
Well, Peter and Scott, what is altogether obvious to me is that this administration is totally concerned about that little clique special interest of corporate greed that everything is to go to. So, no, they don't have money to hire janitors and maintenance people in the hospitals. No, they don't have all that money that would care for the normal people. That has been what's been wonderful about this country. Now we'll go to that special little clique of soon-to-be trillionaires.
Now, let me spit this out. 49% of our deficit, 49%, was a tax giveaway to the richest 1% in America. So let's take 20% of that back and maybe support the troops, because none of those 1% or top 10% of American taxpayers that are benefits of this tax giveaway have their children in the military. So they can pay instead, just like they pay for their gated communities, they can pay to have their troops out there risking their necks. No emotion here from me, Peter.
Dave, this is a kind of contrary note, but in my reading earlier today, I saw an item that George Soros has purchased 2 million shares of Halliburton. Now, I believe that Soros does his investing purely for profit, not for social purposes. And what that suggests is that one of the wealthiest liberal progressives, whatever you want to call him, sees an opportunity there to make money with Halliburton. It's kind of stinky, isn't it?
Well, he may spend it right. The others certainly aren't. They're in the business of raping the country. Our government is in the hands of hardcore criminals, and you know it, Peter, I think.
Thank you, Dave. Scott, stay with us. We're going to continue in just a moment. More calls coming up. If you'd like to join this conversation, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. My guest is Scott Dick, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
And let's take a look at traffic and give you the very latest. We're going to cruise on over to a problem in, well, I believe it's in our computer upstate correctly, folks, and bear with us because this happens live on radio. Well, let's try to give this to you. It appears Highway 17 looking pretty good at this point. No major stalls or accidents, which is always great news. Let's see if their CHP computer has updated yet. And still looking at another problem. This one coming in. Looks like Highway 1, northbound 1, and right near Ocean Street. Do I have word of a stalled truck there? That one just coming in from CHP at this point. And we're going to let you know this report is brought to you by Welch's 100% grape juice. A diet rich in natural antioxidants is good for your heart. And Welch's 100% grape juice is loaded with them to help you protect your heart. Drink Welch's 100% grape juice. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. I want to dedicate today's broadcast to Matt Renner. He has been our producer for the last year and a half, and he's moving on. Watch for his byline at truthout.org. He starts there Monday as a reporter and assistant editor, and he's done a fabulous job producing the Peter B. Collins Show, every day bringing us great guests and helping me keep up with the incredible amounts of information we try to process on your behalf. So I want to thank Matt for that. We continue now with Scott Dick. He's our contributor on military and veterans affairs. Got a stack of calls we'll get to in just a second. But I wanted to make one other point here about the top lead story on the front page of today's New York Times. The day-to-day commander, Ray Odierno, in Iraq, has sent a secret memo to the White House saying that the Bush surge will need to stay in effect at least until a year from now, February of 2008. And this, of course, flies in the face of the illusion that was created that this was temporary and that we could fix the situation in Baghdad in short order and then start to bring American troops home. And, Scott, the other adjustment, as you have pointed out repeatedly, is the numbers are moving upward to reflect the support staff required for each combat troop who gets sent or is retained on the ground in Iraq. And the numbers have been adjusted upward into the 28,000 to 30,000 range. They're probably going to go much higher, don't you think?
Yes, and I saw the numbers said that of the 141,000 that are in Iraq right now, 60,000 are combat troops. So already they're outnumbered by service support, who eat up a tremendous amount of resources. Just, you know, it's just like your body's metabolic rate. Just they consume resources. They're an attractive target. They're being mortared and they're being killed, and all they're doing is, you know, they're not even going out and doing kicking in doors. It's ugly.
Yeah.
I want to point out again, Peter, something I brought out last year. The Republican-led Congress that did the 2007 appropriations bill for the Pentagon, I want to remind you that they cut the financing for the Army's main research and treatment program on brain injury.
Mm-hmm. In fact, that came up in the campaign last year when Pete McCloskey challenged Richard Pombo in the primary in the district just over the hill in San Joaquin County. And McCloskey, a vet, decorated Purple Heart winner from the Korean War era, made a major issue of that, and I think it did help lead to the unseating of Richard Pombo. Now we have Richard in Santa Cruz. No Pombo. He's a Peter B. Collins Show listener. Hi, Richard.
Hey, Peter. You're a true patriot, and Scott also. I wanted to bring to your attention on, as a matter of fact, Joe Scarborough, who's very conservative, on Tuesday or Wednesday night on MSNBC, brought up that 370 government employees at the Building 18 Walter Reed fiasco center had been relieved of duty, and the company that presently is overseeing the repairs and such, and the facilities, the janitorial, whatever, is the same company that was in charge of the Katrina Ice Brigade.
Oh, beautiful.
That went every place on the East Coast but New Orleans. This is the same company. I'm surprised nobody has said anything about it, but 370 government employees were let go. And they brought in, they outsourced it to this. So I wonder who's putting money into which congressman's pocket in order to get these contracts.
Well,
interesting to find out.
I need to just jump in here. I'm shaking my head yes, because we're running out of time. Here's the deal. Once you provide a service and you get on the GSA, the General Services Administration's catalog, Peter, let's say that you did outsourcing or you provided radio broadcast for Armed Forces radio and television service.
Right.
Once you get on the GSA catalog, you can sell that. Anybody can buy that out of the catalog, regardless of your performance from last time. And you have to do something really egregious to get decertified. And a friend of mine who was the editor of Army Magazine, late 90s, right after the administration took over, told me that people in the Pentagon were very upset because what Rumsfeld and Bush were trying to do was to privatize and outsource a lot of jobs, and they were saying that the law was that had to be changed. And what he was telling me was what they were euphemistically saying is what they were trying to do was illegal. So they, in their way, have made it possible to outsource these jobs to government or to contractors. And let me tell you, I have been the recipient of military jobs that have been privatized. They are never as good. I'm sorry to say that. All the civilian workers out there, all the government contractors, I'm sorry. For example, let's say there was a military, they have what they call a military library. It has all the books and the FMs you need to train your troops. When the military had it, you could come in from the field and call them at 10 o'clock at night, and Sergeant Jones would come in and open up the library, and you could give all of his training stuff and all those books back to him. Once it became privatized, 5 o'clock, they're done. You could find them at 8 o'clock
in the
morning.
Said they could do it for less money, and they didn't bring in 370 people. They only brought in, like, 50 people.
Yeah, because they make the claim that they're more efficient. But what happens is the first year of the contract, when there's sort of a probationary period, everything works smooth as glass. They hire retirees that have done the job before. They're in that position. They're working. It's the same face you see. You know him. You drink beer with him at the club. He'll come and open the place up for you. Just call him, wink, wink, wink.
Yeah, Richard, thank you very much. Let's go to Billy Sunshine from Capitola. Hey, Billy, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. Matt is really a warm and welcoming presence every time I call.
Well, thank you. He's done a great job here. We're going to miss him.
We need somebody tougher, though, to deal with you, Billy. So
well, he never threw my call in front of the line like he should have. Jeez. Hey, wie geht's es Ihnen? Schnitzel sehr gut?
Yeah, I didn't. I only had one, and it was cooked with a cooked down pomegranate and curacao sauce. So things are changing. The food's changing in Germany.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, it is. You would listen to this to my show, and you'll get a. I'm going to report on that.
Okay, buddy. Just this. You mentioned Soros.
Yep.
And, you know, when you buy 2 million shares of something, you get to see the books. It may not just be an economic. Think about it.
Yep.
Think about having George Soros, a man whom I love for both reasons. You know, I'm impressed with his capitalist things as well as his democracy work.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be surprised what he might do if he had 2 million shares of Halliburton.
Yeah, but just let me,
he'd find out what Cheney is actually getting paid.
Let me jump in here for a second.
Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
You know, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is totally separated from their investment portfolio, and there was a sort of a scather a couple months ago about there's a lot of blood money in their foundation.
Hmm.
Everything from diamonds to gasoline to oil. So, you know, it's not... and the money's going for a good cause, but it's coming being extracted from someplace.
I'd like to hear more about that story.
All right. We'll check it out. Thank you, Billy.
Thanks, bud.
And we got a couple other callers we won't have time for, but stay on the line. You can talk with us in the Free Speech Zone next hour. And about 30 seconds, Scott, anything you want to add in closing?
No, this is just a sad story. We've been talking about Peter for the last year, and it's not going to get any better. It's going to fade away, and unless... whoever gets elected president next really steps in and has direct action, fires all the cronies, it's going to just be a story we're going to be talking about 10 years from now.
Ah, but what about the Dole Shalala Commission?
Yeah. Dole Shalala Shmela.
They should shred the report before they write it, eh?
Yes, exactly. They should just shred it now.
Okay.
Be done with it.
Thank you, Scott. We'll talk to you next week. Welcome back.
It's always a pleasure, Peter. Thanks.
And catch the Tasty Planet on KRXA Saturdays from 1 to 3 or 1 to 4.
1 to 4, baby.
One to four.
It's a 3-hour show now.
Oh, wow. All right. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome.
I'm Peter B. Collins. We'll kick off this Free Speech Zone with Robert Perry next, and your phone calls, too, 888-5-PETER-B.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It seems every time a U.S. president goes to Latin America, it's a fence-mending mission. And President Bush, who's beginning a five-nation tour, can expect a lot of anger along the way.
I'm Peter Mayer in Sao Paulo, Brazil. The anti-Bush protests started even before the president arrived. In a clash far from the president's hotel, riot police fired tear gas into a crowd of demonstrators rallying for environmental and other causes. Army vehicles are parked outside the hotel where the president's staying, and police officers and soldiers are patrolling the streets. Scattered protests are also reported in two of the other stops on the president's trip, Colombia and Mexico. Peter Mayer, CBS News, with the president in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
In a direct challenge to the new strategy in Iraq, Democrats in Congress are proposing a plan for withdrawal.
If the president cannot certify the progress is made, we begin the redeployment of our troops out of a combat role.
The deadline, says House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, would be August of 2008.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, where senior officials leave no doubt that President Bush vehemently opposes the idea of a deadline for withdrawal from Iraq, and would veto any bill that contains it. Briefing reporters on Air Force One as Mr. Bush headed to Brazil, A top aide said the Democratic plan would handcuff our generals and is based on politics.
After the controversial firings of 8 federal prosecutors, CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports the Bush administration will not oppose legislation to change the rules.
The turnaround follows a tense meeting between senators and Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez and is one of a series of about faces the administration has had to do since Democrats took over Congress. The president only gained this power to replace U.S. attorneys without Senate confirmation in the Patriot Act. Now they've agreed to give it up. And faced with the threat of subpoenas, Gonzalez agreed to let senators question some of his aides about the suspicions surrounding the odd firing of 8 U.S. attorneys all at once.
Critics believe the firings were politically motivated. Rescue in the Bering Strait. McHugh Pierre of the Alaska Department of Military and Veterans Affairs says 3 Koreans were hiking across the ice pack between Alaska and Russia when they got stranded on an ice floe.
The Alaska Army National Guard dispatched a UH-60 Black Hawk helicopter, and they flew out there to retrieve the hikers from the ice floe. They were taken back to Nome safely after about 2 hours of flying time at about 1:40 in the afternoon Alaska time.
They're okay. Just days before Van Halen is inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, guitarist Eddie Van Halen has checked himself into rehab. Reportedly, his drinking contributed to the cancellation of plans for a Van Halen reunion tour. On Wall Street, the Dow up 68 points today, closing at 12,260. The Nasdaq gained 13 points to finish at 2387. The price of oil slipped a bit to $61.64 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Get the good stuff!
One of the most stylish accessories available at your local Napa Auto Parts store isn't for your car. It's for your head. It's the all-new 2007 Napa Racing Hat, and it can be yours free. Just bring any old hat into your local Napa Auto Parts store, and you can swap it for this cool new Napa Racing Hat. Hats are free with any purchase at participating Napa locations while supplies last. Limit one per customer. Napa. Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
To your rhythm, turn off your worries, turn on fun, 'cause two is better than just one. Let's go out back tonight.
Let's go. Go out back tonight. Where fresh Ahi Tuna is seasoned and seared. The salmon tender. The steaks thick and juicy. Your only worry, you might have to share.
Let's go out back tonight.
Tonight, let's go.
Life is better when together.
Go out back.
The Dole Shalala Commission will investigate the problems at military and veterans hospitals, but at Walter Reed, the Army brass is already implementing reforms. WTOP Radio's Darcy Marchese has the story.
When they're wounded, they should not have to come back and fight a bureaucracy.
And that's what U.S. Army General Richard Cody says they're now taking on by creating a brand new position at Walter Reed known as the Bureaucratic Buster. General Cody has also formed the Wounded Warrior Transition Brigade, headed by 2 war vets, to take on the challenges of a recovering soldier in outpatient care. And whenever a conflict comes up,
we will always err on the side of the soldier.
General Cody, along with the new commander of Walter Reed, say they plan to rewrite the book on care for the wounded soldier and take responsibility for past failures. Darcy Marchese for CBS News, Washington.
Ed Neighbors must have gone fishing. Georgia's Mega Millions lottery winner didn't show up for work today. The truck driver had said he planned to finish out the week. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
So you're a consultant?
Yes, sir.
What's with the wall of sticky notes?
It's my small business accounting system. Unpaid invoices go on the purple ones.
And the green?
New customers.
So unpaid bills are the yellow ones.
How'd you know?
I took a shot. You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Yeah?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes with just a few clicks. QuickBooks software lets you write checks, send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't.
I'll switch. So, need a couple hundred sticky notes?
I'm going to pass on that. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at OfficeMax, Best Buy, or Amazon.com.
My husband had a health concern a month ago.
Mr. Thompson, everything looks good.
Oh, thanks, doctor.
It turned out to be nothing, but it got us doing more for our health.
And stretch and bend.
Like morning exercise and taking silver.
Centrum Silver Multivitamin is age-adjusted. It helps protect your health as you age with key antioxidants that help support natural cell repair. Centrum Silver Multivitamin.
Things are sure changed around here.
Our health protection starts with silver.
Take along with a healthy diet and exercise.
Live.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone call.
That's right.
Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
Lines are open for you. It's the Free Speech Zone this hour. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can always drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. We'll get to your call shortly, but I wanted to check in with Robert Perry. He writes at consortiumnews.com, and he's an investigative journalist who's also the author of a powerful book about the Bush dynasty called Secrecy and Privilege. Welcome back to the program, Bob.
Thanks, Peter.
I was struck by a piece that you wrote, and I'd like you to know that it ricocheted or boomeranged to me five or six times from other people who saw it. Your critique of the Washington Post's post-Libby commentary, where they tend to minimize the problems and the law-breaking of the administration while falsely stating things that are critical of Joe Wilson and repeating the canard that Valerie Plame Wilson was not actually a covert agent, so no underlying law was broken. This comes on the heels of Victoria Tonsing's piece just 2 weeks ago as the Libby jury was going into deliberations, and it steamed me that the public television system NewsHour featured Victoria Tonsing without identifying her bias on the night the verdict was returned.
Right. Actually, Vicky Tonsing even had issued a friend of the court brief on behalf of Libby. And she and her husband, Joe DeGeneva, have been very powerful advocates, not only on behalf of Libby, but for conservative legal causes in Washington for a number of years now.
Yeah, yeah. And none of that, of course, was described. And she kind of took control of the exchange and started to introduce some of her comments that were in that misguided piece that she wrote for the op-ed section, like I said, about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, the Washington Post has been wrong about the Iraq War from the beginning. And I used to work for Newsweek, which is part of the Washington Post family, and that was back in the late 80s, early 90s. And that was even then there was a drifting of the company toward a neoconservative bias in its news coverage. And the and I think Donnie Graham, who replaced his mother, Catherine Graham, sort of fits into that sort of neocon mold. And Fred Hyatt, who's the editorial page editor, also comes up out of the neoconservative outlook of things. And so while the news pages have been up and down, they've done some poor work and some good work, the editorial page has been pretty consistently awful.
Yeah.
And it's gotten facts wrong. It doesn't seem to care that it has facts wrong. And it's just carrying the water for the whole neoconservative movement on the issue of Iraq and that even years now down the road, that has included spreading lies about Joe Wilson in defense of Scooter Libby. There are things in here in these different pieces, and they seem to repeat the same sort of worn-out, discredited talking points, like this point that Valerie Plame was not a covert officer. She was. And the problem was that the CIA was limited in what it could say about that because it didn't want to further the damage that had been done when the White House and the State Department put her name out in 2003. So the agency was trying to be careful about both trying to get some kind of accountability, but also not saying too much. And the same situation prevailed in the Libby trial. Libby's lawyers did not really want this in because they felt it would prejudice the jury. And the judge agreed that it wasn't really relevant to the issue of whether Libby had lied and obstructed justice. So it was more or less finessed during the trial, but now you have Vicky Tonsing and the Washington Post editorial board writing that no evidence was put in during the trial about her being a covert agent or officer for the CIA.
It was explicitly excluded by the judge as irrelevant.
It was excluded as irrelevant and prejudicial. So it was kept out to protect Libby from having a jury more inflamed if they knew that here was a woman who had been doing important covert work for the United States and our national security, and that her name had been bandied around as it had, and then ultimately got into the press and destroyed her career and her operation, they might have been more likely to take out their anger on the defendant. So it was kept out, but now it's been spun around by the right and by the Washington Post editorial page.
And Bob, in the
against Joe Wilson
in the post-verdict news conference that Patrick Fitzgerald held, he was asked and he bluntly answered that there is not even any doubt about that. It's a matter of fact, not something that is open to interpretation or dispute. Yet I heard on my little car radio this morning Laura Ingraham trotting out these same talking points and saying that this is a politicized case because there is no underlying crime, and they neatly overlook repeatedly that this case originated from a referral by the CIA. This did not come from Joe Wilson or a Democrat or, you know, some peacenik or, you know, some other dangerous lefty that the right likes to vilify. It came out of the agency.
That's correct, and the agency was quite alarmed. If you talk to like someone like Larry Johnson, who was a former longtime CIA officer,
mm-hmm.
he was in the class at the so-called farm, the CIA's farm, with Valerie Plame. She has been an undercover operative officer for the CIA since the beginning. Even her mother didn't know she was in the CIA. There's been another canard is that because she was stationed at Langley at headquarters, that meant she was not covert. That just isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of people stationed at Langley are covert. I know, you know, some friends of mine are there. I live in Washington. You get to know people somewhat, and these kinds of things, you know, are not talked about.
Now,
even journalists who get hold of this information, unless there was a tremendously compelling reason to expose a CIA officer, and it's hard to even imagine what that circumstance might be, but it would require a really extraordinary reason in terms of the public's need to know to override the need for people to be protected when they're doing dangerous work in this area.
Now, one of the real low watermarks of the Washington Post commentary on Wilson and the Libby trial is this line that is not even worthy of Ann Coulter, that Joe Wilson, who will be remembered as a blowhard.
The basic facts here were that Joe Wilson was approached by the Central Intelligence Agency. He was a former ambassador who had served both in Iraq and in Africa. He had very good credentials and qualifications for the assignment of checking out these reports, which turned out to be bogus, about Iraq trying to obtain uranium from Africa. He was asked to do it. He took on the assignment for no pay. He did this work. He came back accurately. It conveyed that this was probably false. He offered a very nuanced but accurate account of what he found. The CIA put that in, along with the State Department. They put that into their judgments, and ultimately they agreed with Wilson that this was bogus. Now, those are the facts of the matter. Now, because Wilson then later became concerned when the White House kept wanting to use this, and it ended up in the President's State of the Union address in 2003, he served his country again by telling the American people that there were problems here. Now, those are the basic facts, but what's happened then is that the White House, the State Department, through people like Armitage, went after Wilson, exposed his wife's, and much of the right-wing media has piled on, attacking him, smearing him, trying to demonize him. And now we've had the Washington Post join in this demonization of an American citizen who did his country a service. It's an extraordinary set of facts when you consider the nastiness and ugliness of the Washington Post editorial taking on a private citizen and saying something like he'll be remembered as a blowhard.
Yeah. I want to refer people to your website, consortiumnews.com, where this well-sourced article that you wrote is posted, and people can see how you use actual information reported in the news columns of the Washington Post to refute the phony claims of the editorial page writers of the Washington Post.
That's right. It is extraordinary that some of the things that the Post wrote about in his editorial were contradicted by things that appeared on the front page of the same newspaper. but there was such an idea of sort of following these right-wing talking points and the White House talking points and Fred Hyatt, who's the editorial page editor, is just, I guess he's locked in on this and he's not going to budge. He's going to go down with whatever ship there is left. it's quite extraordinary to see it, and the and to have citizens of the United States be harmed by the Washington Post because it doesn't want to admit that it was wrong in a very serious way. It has caused a great deal of damage to the national security.
Bob, a final question, and this requires some speculation on your part. Why do you think Patrick Fitzgerald is satisfied with this conviction and is rolling up the investigation and going back to Chicago?
Well, I think Fitzgerald may have seen what happened to Lawrence Walsh when Lawrence Walsh was the special prosecutor for the Iran-Contra affair. And Walsh initially tried to do a very broad set of indictments showing the grand conspiracy, arms trafficking, money laundering. And because the White House, then under Reagan and the first Bush, refused to declassify certain documents, those charges were essentially destroyed. So then Walsh went back and charged North for lying to Congress and taking a security fence. In a sense, it's very difficult to bring these kinds of charges against a sitting president or vice president or to their top officials, because there'll be arguments made that the president has ultimate control of classified material. If he decides something, it can go out no matter what it is. It's a very hard burden for a prosecutor to get over, and I think that's what has not really been talked about. That if Fitzgerald had gone after Cheney or gone after even Rove and said that they had released classified material illegally, that issue would have been litigated probably up to the Supreme Court, and the case might never have really reached any kind of fruition for many years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what you saw here was a prosecutor who looked at the evidence, and I think he did see an underlying crime of disclosing this classified material, but he realized there'd be so many problems in trying to get around executive authority that he made a judgment that it was better to deal with this in a narrower way, and since Libby had lied, he went with that.
All right. Bob, thanks for taking the time to talk with us, and thanks for your work.
Thanks, Peter.
Robert Parry, P-A-R-R-Y, consortiumnews.com. Next, it's your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone. Tell me what you think about the Washington Post and about the right-wing spin of the Libby verdict. I'd like to hear your comments. Toll free now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
All righty, folks, let's take a look at your early evening commute here. And we wanted to let you know that we do have a problem. Let's go to a Carmel Quail Meadows Drive at Oak Trail. We still have reports of a large piece of construction equipment that's blocking the roadway. Now, this was first reported this afternoon, just about 2:37, and for some reason it's still there and still causing problems, so we'll hopefully CHP police will get to the root of that problem. Santa Cruz County, southbound 1 and San Andreas Road, we have a two-vehicle fender bender. They're on the right shoulder of the off-ramp. CHP is en route to the scene there, or very well may be there by now. In Aptos, we have a Trailwood Way at Trout Gulch injury crash. We have a vehicle that hit a pedestrian. We have a paramedics, fire department, all on scene tending to that situation. Well, this support brought to you by Genuine Toyota Service Departments. Through March, visit your local participating Toyota service, and you can win tickets too for Save Mart $350.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show in the Free Speech Zone. My switchboard's wide open for you, so if you give us a call now, it'll be a short wait on hold, and you get right on the air to tell us what you think. If you want to comment on Robert Perry's critique of the Washington Post and the right-wing spin we're getting on the Libby verdict, bring it on. My number's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. There are some other items in the news here in the Golden State of California. The Assembly has approved the early primary. It's going to be in the first week of February next year so that Californians actually get a voice in the nominating process for our next president. And it's going to cost something, in the range of $100 million to do it. Tell me if you think that's worth it. I wish that they would conduct the entire primary with the presidential primary. But what they're planning to do is simply have the presidential candidacies, the primary candidates in Republican and Democratic tickets, and probably a few ballot measures, including one that would revise the term limits initiative that was passed by the voters to get rid of Willie Brown and has dogged Sacramento and led to a brain drain, in my opinion. I don't oppose relaxing the term limits, but I think that the political leaders in Sacramento, mostly the Democrats, think that they can kind of sneak it by including it as one of the few ballot measures that would show up during this presidential primary. So I'm not so keen on that. But in general, I'm one of those people who is tired of having our presidential candidates selected by New Hampshire and Iowa and maybe a couple of southern states before the rest of us get a crack at it. And California has been used in past election cycles as the ATM for presidential campaigns, but we never got even the even to see the TV commercials that were being used to promote the candidates or to tear down the opponent. And so California will be a player in the primary next year. But as I said, I'd like to see the whole shebang take place in February to save money and also to increase turnout. Not everybody wants to vote in the primary process, and so it may have an unintended consequence in that respect. Also, I want to ask you this. I'm a proud Irish American, and I actually consider myself an American of Irish ethnicity or Irish origin. I don't really use the hyphenated descriptor. But next week is St. Patrick's Day, which is when everybody gets to be Irish for a day. And there's an op-ed piece that appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle yesterday, critical of Target stores, because they're selling St. Patrick's Day T-shirts that, according to Margaret McPeak, who wrote this piece, are racist. And I guess I don't see that. The T-shirts read, "I survived the Murphy-Kelly family reunion, March 17, 1988, and that's printed above a pair of boxing gloves. Now, there have been a lot of Irish fighters, and hey, culturally, when Irish families get together and drink too much, fights do happen. Is it racist to depict that on a T-shirt that is intended to be lighthearted? I don't think so. Another T-shirt sold at Target names the wearer as a green beer taste tester. I'm sorry, that strikes me as totally innocuous. A third is an advertisement for the 6th annual St. Patrick's Day Race for the Beer. And at the website, it says that this shirt is a witty gift for your favorite Irishman, and you've trained hard and deserve a commemorative T-shirt. Well, I don't tell a lot of set jokes, but one that I recall and often trot out when people are talking about my ancestors is the little question and answer joke. Do you know why the good Lord invented Irish whiskey? And people say no, and the answer is to prevent the Irish from ruling the world. Now, it is a fact that Irish people drink, some to excess, and that part of our culture here in the United States is that many Irish Americans continue that tradition. And so, yes, there are some stereotypes at work here. But are they mean-spirited? Are they hateful? Are they racist? Well, not the examples that are listed in this commentary. So if you have a comment on that, you're Irish or not, give us a call. Love to hear your thoughts. 888-5 Peter B is our toll-free number. We got another half hour of the Free Speech Zone, so come on, share your opinions. First-time callers are always welcome here. 888-5 Peter B. That's 888-573-8372. This is the Peter B. Collins Show, produced today by Matt Renner in San Francisco.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Remember the time you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you almost visited the Veterans Hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all the times you almost helped, almost gave? Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But the truth is, it's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue in the free speech zone. This just in, the First Amendment remains in full effect. Use it or lose it, my friends. I've got lines available, and I'd like to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B. You got that number? 1-888-573-8372. If you're listening in Eureka, Humboldt County, give me a call. I haven't heard from Coos Bay, Oregon today. Let me know you're up there. 888-5-PETER-B. And up first this half hour, it's Patrick in Pacific Grove. Thanks for calling. You're on the air, Patrick.
Greetings, Peter.
How you doing?
Great to talk to you. How are you?
Not too bad, thanks.
Hey, I had a few things I wanted to throw out there. First of all, I wanted to throw out major props to Ben from Salinas. I've heard him call your show many times, but for years I've heard him call Ray Taliaferro and Bernie Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get back to Ben in a second here. But, you know, as far as... the guest before, Robert Perry, it was good timing, actually, when your call screener said, you know, we're going to take 15 minutes off. I said, that's okay, because I'm at a payphone. I lost my cell.
Oh,
and,
gosh.
And I went, that's okay. I want to tape Robert Perry anyway.
Oh, good.
So, back at the phone booth at the Ace Hardware here in PG.
Well, first of all, what's the visibility from PG? Can you see Santa Cruz today?
No. Well, no, I can see the outline clouded in kind of a white haze of the mountains.
Okay.
And the little kind of blue hazy line of the ocean.
Okay. I can visualize that. I love the view from Pacific Grove.
Yeah. But, you know, the guest for the last hour that you have on, once a week?
Scott, he usually comes on once a week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking, you know, besides... the Walter Reed scandal. I'm not going to name my buddy's name or his dad, but several years ago, my buddy's dad passed away, and he was a sergeant major. And I'm in John Cougar Mellencamp's camp that I'm not maybe so much a pacifist as a peacenik and, you know, what have you. But, mm-hmm. you know, his dad was a sergeant major, did four tours, Guam, two tours in Vietnam, one in Korea. And, you know, this guy led men into combat. And it was like 2 years before he died, before the VA, you know, or the Army or whoever's in charge of this, finally kicked down and gave him, like, the little portable on a dolly oxygen tank so that he could go up and down the stairs of his two-story house in Pacific Grove more than, like, once a day and could visit Safeway and the post office more than once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And the reasons they gave were because, oh, well, you know, it was emphysema and it wasn't combat-related. And I'm like, F that! I'm not a big, you know, proponent of war in general, but I mean, my God, the guy's been to war for you people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, give him his freaking oxygen tank.
Well, I agree, and I don't think that an injured veteran's health care for life should be limited to their war injuries.
No, I mean, especially if, you know, Randy Rhodes, you know, she's been in the military and she hasn't been in combat, and she'll be the first to mention it, but, you know, if you've been in the military, especially if you've been in combat, it's like treat those kids or those adults, you know, regardless of their age, like princes and, you know, kings and queens. I mean, my God, you know. I'm a little less focused than I thought I would be, but I've been running around today. I did want to say one thing about Ben. You know,
mm-hmm.
I have been working on some stuff here, and I did hear him either mention on your show or Bernie or Ray's that he's a musician, and I was hoping to leave my number with the call screener because, you know, I don't know how many instruments the man plays. I don't know if he writes lyrics and sings and does stuff like I do, but, you know, for all I know, he plays 17 instruments. But from listening to him for years, I'm thinking the man can bring it.
Yeah.
And I got some material that I'd like to maybe talk to him about, and we got some friends down here in, you know, he's, I guess, in Salinas. We're just a few, about 20 miles away.
Sure.
And I was hoping to throw that out, and maybe he could call the station and leave some information.
All right. Well, that's the deal, Patrick. I'll put you on hold. Matt will get your information. Give us an email and a phone number. And then, Ben, if you want to call back or the next time he calls in, we'll catch his info and pass yours along to him and see if you guys can get together and make some music.
Hey, great. Thanks, Peter.
You bet. Thank you for the call, Patrick. That leaves a line open now, 888-5, Peter B., 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. You can talk about any issue from any viewpoint, and you can call from anywhere within the sound of my voice. You know how it works. Well, here's another item. Last week, we talked a little bit about this Supreme Court case involving a man from Phoenix who was convicted of possession of child pornography. And they sentenced him to 10 years per image for a total of 200 years. And I believe that is excessive, unconstitutional, cruel, and unusual punishment. I also think it's irrational and that, you know, the penalty has to fit the crime. We've gotten away from that in a major way in this country. Now, in a story dateline from my birth town of Cincinnati, Ohio, the Ohio State Legislature could make Ohio the first to require convicted violent sex offenders and child predators to place fluorescent green license plates on their cars. And as in so many cases, they frame this around a tragic crime. This 14-year-old girl, Kristen Jackson, was raped and killed in 2002 by a convicted sex offender. And in 2005, they passed a bill, or at least they considered a bill, that would require pink license plates for all sex offenders. And apparently the Mary Kay Cosmetics contingent weighed in and overruled that. And also, advocates for breast cancer research said, well, that's our color. So now we have a bill carried by State Senator Kevin Coughlin of Cuyahoga Falls. That's near Cleveland. And they've called it Kristen's Law. We've seen this kind of pandering before. You take a really tragic crime, oh, say the Polyclass case in California here, and you tie it to draconian legislation, and an hysterical public coupled with a compliant media that loves the tabloid racy controversy, you end up with another bad law passed. Critics say the bill would wrongly punish the offender's family members who might use the car with those special license plates. And mainly, it ends up branding these people and making them vulnerable to vigilante activities. And so I don't approve of this in any way, shape, or form. If you agree, let me know. And if you disagree, definitely let me know. I'd like to hear from you at 888-5-PETER-B. Jenny in Eureka, thanks for your call. You're next here.
Hi, Peter.
Hi,
thanks
Jenny.
For taking my call. I just wanted to make a quick comment about the St. Patrick's Day
sure.
thing. My father's mother came from County Cork,
mm-hmm.
and he always celebrated St. Patrick's Day, even with the green beer and the corned beef cabbage. And he would have loved the joke that you told.
The T-shirts with these little messages?
The one about the Irish ruling the world.
Oh, yeah.
He would have loved it. But he died when he was 81, and he was in a coma. I don't, you know, it was in a hospital bed in the living room, so he would kind of come in and out, but it seemed pretty much to be a coma. And but he waited, and he died on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh.
And I will always believe he did that on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, as sort of a celebration and a tribute to his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just loved her, and he wouldn't have taken offense at any of that at all. And the other part of my family is Finn, and I wonder what the T-shirts would say for us.
I have some distant relatives named Finn.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in Cincinnati.
Oh, so. No, these are Finnish people. I don't know if these are Finns or named Finn.
Oh, okay. I thought they were the Finns. I also, one of my former producers is a great lady who now lives in Sacramento, and her name is Mary Finn, and she has the license plate Mighty Finn.
Oh. Maybe I should get one of those.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we got to be Irish and be proud, but honestly, I can see some people might be annoyed by these T-shirts because, yes, they play on stereotypes. But I have to admit, as an American of Irish origin, that this is an accurate stereotype.
I just think it's carrying it too far, and I've been, quote, too sensitive all my life. The older I get, the less sensitive I am. So a lot of this oversensitivity stuff is starting to get to me.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's
and
not necessary. We
and,
have more important things. To
and when
about.
People try to apply political correctness on my behalf or in what they presume to be my interest, it makes me uncomfortable.
Right.
Because you know, if somebody makes a public comment or even you know in a bar on St. Patrick's Day some kind of a slur against the Irish, well, they take their chances. But I think that to sell T-shirts about St. Patrick's Day that try to poke gentle fun at the obvious proclivities of Irish people, I just don't think that's racist. Tasteless? Maybe it strikes some people as tasteless, but I don't think it's racist.
I think it's funny.
All right, Jenny.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And Eric weighs in. He says, I had a comment on the racist BS. Look it. The Irish drink too much whiskey or ale. The Russians drink too much vodka. The Germans, Aussies, English drink too much beer. The Japanese drink too much sake. The Greeks drink too much ouzo. The Frenchmen and Italians drink too much wine, etc., etc., etc. Everyone drinks. Some people have no sense of humor. And I think that is more offensive than harmless little social commentaries that are based on observed behavior displayed by certain ethnic groups. Okay? I agree with you. And now I'm reading my screen here. Matt has collected a joke from a listener who apparently is too embarrassed to go on the air. What is Irish and gets left out in the cold all night? Da-dum, 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 da-dum. The answer, Patty O'Furniture. And that's from Dave. Thank you, Dave. At least I think so. So if you want to weigh in about green beer and Irish-themed T-shirts being sold at Target for St. Patty's Day, if You want to talk about the proposal to put green license plates on the cars of sex offenders in Ohio? I'd be happy to hear from you on that. And there are other issues we can talk about, too. Here's one more. The other day, with some fanfare, Condoleezza Rice, our Secretary of State, released the annual report on human rights in the world. And they took shots at a number of countries, China, Myanmar, formerly called Burma, Iran, Zimbabwe, and Cuba. They were listed in this report as countries in which power remains concentrated in the hands of unaccountable rulers, whether totalitarian or authoritarian. Notably absent was any mention of the U.S. and its sorry record of human rights under this administration. And there's one other glaring error, and I'm reminded of it by last night's television broadcast of excerpts of a speech given by the leader of Saudi Arabia, clearly a dictator, although he carries the title of king. King Abdullah came into Washington, gave a special speech to a joint session of Congress, and nobody talked to him about the sorry record of Saudi Arabia on human rights. And then King Abdullah sat for an interview with a very timid Jim Lehrer on the public television news hour, who pitched him such softball questions, it was unbelievable. No reference to 9/11 and the origins of 15 of the 19 hijackers. No reference to Seymour Hersh's disclosures last week that the U.S. and Saudi Arabia are funding covert operations against Hezbollah in Lebanon. No. That'd be too messy. It might be unpleasant. King Abdullah might not like it. Such is the sorry state of affairs in the United States of America in the year 2007. We'll take more of your calls here in the Free Speech Zone next. A quick break and we return on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines available at 888-5-PETER-B.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, your number one Sunday morning real estate show, we'll have Jim Ross, the president and founder of National Real Estate Holdings. Jim specializes in undervalued pre-construction real estate opportunities. That's this week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10. For more information, call 408-892-3376 or visit our website, rockrollinrealestate.com. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
It's tax time again. And there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel at Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax return tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today, located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to take a copy of your 2005 federal and California returns and W-2 1099 info for 2006. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today at 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching each show. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in Monterey.
Good afternoon, everybody. Let's take a look at the very latest, and we're going to start off with a problem in the Santa Cruz Mountains. This would be northbound 17 before Glenwood. A stalled car on a very narrow, they're saying a very narrow right shoulder, so drive with caution. Meanwhile, let's look at a situation in, let's cruise on over to Santa Cruz County, southbound one at San Andreas. Two vehicles on the right shoulder involved in the crash. They're on the off-ramp. CHP is on scene. Carmel, looks like northbound one after Carpenter Street. Fender bender right shoulder, two vehicles involved there. So we'll keep you advised. And Highway 1 southbound to the Morrissey Boulevard off-ramp, the on-ramps and off-ramps shut down 24 hours a day for road work. This report brought to you by your genuine Toyota service departments. Through March, a visit to your local participating Toyota service center could win you two tickets to the Save Mart 350. No purchase necessary. That's traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes away from the top of the hour. And I'm your humbled host, Peter B. I am humbled because during the commercial break, people called to correct my error. And you are right. I misspoke just a few minutes ago. Lori and others called to let me know. King Abdullah is the king of Jordan. And I said Saudi Arabia. Will you please...
Excuse me.
Sorry, I didn't have my Middle East leader scoreboard here in front of me. And occasionally I do make mistakes. I'm just a human being. On the screen here, it says Oxy Johnny is on the line, and it simply says he says he's a former liberal. Johnny?
How you doing, Peter?
Yeah, Johnny, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
I don't know nothing about no kings.
Yeah.
Nothing like that. I don't care about. I'm not calling about that.
Yeah.
I'm saying I'm here in the basement over here. And some fellas chainsawing something next door, so go bear with me. I don't think this Ann Coulter thing is any big deal.
Uh-huh.
Well, first of all, everybody knows that Edwards fella, he ain't a homosexual. He got a couple daughters.
Right.
And a wife. So, you know, she know that. She ain't stupid. Ann got, what, Ann got 7, 8, 9 books or something like that.
Now, let me ask you a couple of questions here, sir. You identified yourself as Oxy Johnny.
Well.
What does that mean?
I just, you know, Rush Limbaugh, everyone gets on Rush Limbaugh just because, you know, the guy had pain.
Right.
And so he got, this is pharmaceutical medications he got, and he took them. So, you know, maybe he got some here and some there, but I think it's fine if a feller, you know, if you have pain of some sort, you're taking medication.
Right. So are you currently under the influence of OxyContin?
I have some back issues.
Uh-huh.
And I take some painkillers from time to time. I don't see anything against the law about that.
No, I'm just curious because it, you know, could influence the way you think.
Well, perhaps so, but I think I'm pretty clear on this whole Ann Coulter thing. I mean, you turn on the late night television, you got your liberals, Jay Leno and John Stewart, and the rest of them. Oh, George Bush this, George Bush that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, fine and dandy, but you know, a little joke about this Edwards fella. I mean, he's a homosexual, and all of a sudden they had a comb for her head. I don't think that's fair play.
Well, I didn't think it was very funny myself. And when you look at it as part of a pattern, Oxy Johnny, she offers a lot of hateful comments that she kind of backpedals to jokes when she's confronted by people who are critical of the way she frames these things. I mean, anything that she identifies as liberal, she trashes and calls, you know, treason. I tried to read her book. I got about 40 pages into it, and it is so insulting and so full of demagoguery that it's really damn annoying.
Well, I got most of her books over here. Hold on a second, but I got to take this. Hold just a second, please.
Okay, what's going on there?
I'll take that.
I see.
Take a pill. I'll tell you what, though. Okay, maybe she exaggerates a little, but, you know, it's a little bit of showbiz up in there and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, she came out and said he's a kook or a knucklehead. I guess maybe people wouldn't have looked her way, and, you know, she wouldn't sell books. Just like the Michael Moore and those fellas, you know, they exaggerate. They try to throw some silly stuff in there. And she does it, and everyone says, "Oh, it's demagoguery. She's the devil," and all this thing.
Yeah, well, I'm on that side of that one, Oxy Johnny. I'm sorry.
Well, I guess we're gonna have to agree on that one, Peter.
I think she's tasteless and ruthless.
Well, I guess I don't agree with that. I mean, give me one example where you, other than this Edwards thing, which we're not going to agree on that today.
All right, she has said that she wishes that John McVeigh had blown up the New York Times instead of the federal building in Oklahoma City. Now, she has repeatedly called for violence against liberal people.
Now, you don't think she's just joking? I mean, do you think if she got up in the morning and that building fell down and all them people got killed up on the rioters and the people that put the press together, you know, roll them out, bam, 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 you seen on television, bam, bam, the big room. I mean, those people are just Americans. You think she's going to be happy if they're dead? It's just making a joke, Peter.
No, I'm sorry. I don't get it. So apparently, let me ask you this,
yes,
Oxy
sir.
Johnny. If you'd send me a couple of those pills, I would be willing to do the Peter B. Collins show on OxyContin someday and see if it changes my mind about Ann Coulter the way, well, it does for you.
Well, I'm not sure what you're implying. These are just regular pharmaceutical medications, and they get them out of the doctor. You got a bad bag of disc trouble?
Yeah, that's what Rush said as he took 20,000 a week.
Right, that must have hurt.
All right, Johnny, thanks a lot for your call.
Peter, I'll talk to you later. I got a chainsaw, and I'll talk to you next time. Maybe we'll work it out.
All right, keep your pain under control. Peter in Monterey, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter, another fine example of one cousin's Mary.
Touché.
Well, Peter, I had a quick comment on license plates, if I might.
Yeah.
I feel that any parents with obese children should be forced to display a McDonald's Happy Meal license plate. What do you think?
I think that would be a way to curb some inappropriate behavior.
And my last comment to Johnny is, stay away from the power tools, Johnny. You're a menace not just to yourself but to society.
Well, but he's got the pain under control. And I imagine that if you mix OxyContin with exclusive viewing of the Fox News Channel, it can change your world.
It's called the O'Reilly Factor, Peter. I think that's what they call it.
Yeah.
Thanks,
all right,
Peter.
Peter, thank you very much. I want to thank you all for your calls today. And I want to thank Matt Renner for doing a super job as producer of the Peter B. Collins Show. Since July of 2005, he's been on board here every day, bringing us great guests and supplying information and topics, handling all the callers, including wackos who apparently have painkillers that drive them to say incredible things. And Matt's done a terrific job. We wish him all the best. He's moving over to truthout.org, and I invite you to check that page every day and look for his byline. He's working on some interesting stories right now that should show up there in the next couple of days. So thank you all. Tomorrow you'll hear the best of Peter B. Collins while I attend a radio conference in Southern California. We'll be back live Monday right here.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. They've tried non-binding resolutions. Now Democrats in Congress are taking a new tack.
Truly changing course in Iraq will require Republican cooperation and support. So far, Republicans have chosen to green light the escalation.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid joined House Speaker Nancy Pelosi today in proposing a deadline, August 2008, to get U.S. troops out of Iraq. John Boehner, the House Republican leader, says his side won't support it.
There's no unity amongst Democrats on this plan either. It goes too far for some of their moderate Democrat members and doesn't go far enough for those on the more liberal side.
I'm Peter Mayer in Sao Paulo, Brazil. It's a high-altitude veto threat. As the president flew here to Brazil, his advisor Dan Bartlett told reporters the proposal would handcuff the military. He frames it as a non-starter. The Iraq War debate is also simmering here in Latin America, where analysts say a preoccupation with the conflict has sidetracked U.S. policy in this vital part of the world.
6,000 Brazilians turned out to protest the president's visit. Police used tear gas and batons to disperse them. Reporter Brian Burns says Mr. Bush can expect more such protests in his travels.
The last time Mr. Bush visited South America, in November 2005, there were violent anti-U.S. protests on the streets of Mar del Plata, Argentina. Those clashes took place following a fiery speech by Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. Mr. Chavez is planning another raucous rally at a Buenos Aires soccer stadium on Friday evening that is expected to draw thousands.
Along the Mexican border, drug traffickers and illegal immigrants have become more militant. Rick Flores is the sheriff in Webb County, Texas.
They've become more, you know, more brazen, more bravo. They're confronting law enforcement now, and of course, they've gotten orders to not give away their loads and instructed to fight back.
Assaults on U.S. Border Patrol agents are up. A jury in Alexandria, Virginia, has ordered the internet phone company Vonage to pay Verizon $58 million for patent infringement. Verizon attorney Dan Webb says his company had no choice.
When you have patents this valuable that Verizon wanted to enforce its patents in court and prove to a jury and to the court that they infringed, whether this puts them out of business or not,